people recovering, it destroyed 7,500 buildings, including Joplin High School. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio.
The president first wraps up the NATO summit in Chicago. Many downtown businesses told people to stay home as more demonstrations are expected today. In Waco, the trial of an AWOL soldier accused of planning to bomb a Texas restaurant full of Fort Hood troops gets underway. This is NBC News Radio. Robin Gibb of the Bee Gees has passed away, his long battle with cancer.
The Bee Gees soared to superstardom with chart-topping and catchy hits like Stayin' Alive, How Deep Is Your Love, and Night Fever. Together, the trio made music magic with record sales totaling 200 million. Gibb was 62 years old. Francis Koh, NBC News.
John Edwards' corruption trial resumes today. Jurors were given the weekend off and will resume deliberations this morning. A new study says many of the nation's overweight and obese teens are at risk for future heart problems. About half have unhealthy blood pressure, cholesterol, or blood sugar levels. And Tropical Storm Alberto is expected to move out to sea today. The storm's winds have decreased to 40 miles per hour and isn't expected to make landfall. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not bad from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
You?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
This was not our finest hour. So says the top exec at NASDAQ OMX after the NASDAQ ran into a series of embarrassing problems with Facebook's IPO Friday. The exchange operator acknowledges it bungled the whole thing. Technology glitches coming from the volume of trade orders and especially order cancellations delayed Facebook's debut as a public stock, and all day investors were unsure if their buy and sell orders even had been processed. NASDAQ says it will redesign its IPO system. The biggest ever acquisition in Google's short but dramatic history could close this week. Chinese regulators, up to now the only ones yet to approve Google's $12 billion buyout of Motorola Mobility, have now done so. There's one condition. Google's Android mobile operating system must remain free of charge in China for at least 5 more years. New week, new direction for the moment. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.25%, European markets higher, S&P futures up 8. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera.
Dr. Morisi.
So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Dr. Learn more about Kyocera technology like the 50-page per minute Task Alpha 5550 CI color MFP at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com/US.
Chances are there's a favorite shirt or sweater in your closet with the Lands' End label inside. You know us for classic American style and quality that's guaranteed, period. Now meet Lands' End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality unifies teams and makes brands better. Small companies to market leaders like Caterpillar and Southwest Airlines are dressing employees at Lands' End Business Outfitters. Find out why at landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
e-discovery laws and government regulations require that certain businesses save electronic communication, namely emails, or face potential fines. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection, with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver indexes and preserves all email communication while enforcing policies for regulatory compliance. Save email. Avoid penalties. Visit Barracuda.com/archiver to try the Barracuda Message Archiver free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/archiver.
Attention residents of this neighborhood. My name is Dave, and I'm opening a new sporting goods store right down the street. So, listen, if you're into sporting goods, stop in and buy some of my competitively priced gear. You won't regret it.
There's an easier, more effective way to find the customers that matter most. With Everydoor direct mail from the Postal Service, you can reach every home, every address, every time. Visit USPS.com/mail to learn more.
One more thing. Since I'm here, has anyone...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now.
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Monday, the 21st day of May, 2012. And we welcome you all to another great week of broadcasting enlightenment. And we've got a lot to get to today and every day as we work our way through the week. I am astounded, just astounded by what new headphones do to the quality of the sound in my ears. Sweet Jesus, this is wonderful. I feel like I have... well, not died, but some level gone to broadcast heaven. Anyway, in this today's show, within today's program, of the many things that we will do, and there are many, Emily, I'm going to see if I can get this right, Divendorf, and I do believe that is correct, from Equality Michigan, will join us to talk about gay marriage. State Representative Tim Bledsoe is scheduled to call us. Talk about the Stand Our Ground law here in the state of Michigan, made infamous now by the Trayvon Martin killing, and we'll talk about the necessity and perhaps the repeal of that law. Occupy Detroit will occupy First Shift at 7:50 at 8 o'clock. Mark Brewer will join us. Yep, State Rep. Roy Schmidt will be the topic. And a lot has happened since we last talked on Friday in our blog roll segment. We'll feature Christine Berry from bloggingformichigan.com, so you can anticipate that we've got a lot to get to today, and we'll do that, and we'll get started right now.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Identify. Our first word today is identify. To identify an issue, an individual, an idea, whatever, you know, to identify it is to say, okay, that's it. That's what I want to look at. That's what I want to work on. That's what I want to change. That's what needs to happen. But you've got to identify it first. Right? You do. You have to identify it first. You have to be able to say, I recognize this as that, and as a result, I want to see this happen. Fair enough. This is not that complicated, ladies and gentlemen. No, it's not. But once we identify something, it's, of course, what we do with it. Well, that would be a different word, a different discussion. But the first thing we have to do is identify what it is that we want to change, that we want to extrapolate, what we want to manipulate. Because let's be honest about it. And it really is about manipulation, isn't it? I think it is at some level. Absolutely. So anyway, we take a look at what we identify, what we need to get done, and then we place some priorities in that. But the reality is it all starts, with an idea, perhaps a series of ideas, but Ultimately, you do have to identify what it is that you want to focus on, what you want to do, where you want to go. And once you do that, frankly, that's when things begin to happen. So, with that said, today's first word is identify. And we identify that the Tigers had a pretty good weekend. We welcome back to the program our producer, Mr. Jeff Radford. And good morning, Jeffrey. How are you today?
Not too bad, thanks. And yourself?
A busy weekend, although it was at home busy, so that was a good thing. So I can't complain. I actually learned a little something. On Saturday, I cut the grass, which was a chill. It was a hot weekend. It was in the mid-80s all weekend. And so I got done cutting the grass on Saturday and went to grab a can of lemonade. And so there's this really nice sugar-free lemonade that I enjoy. So I went to guzzle it and took four big gulps, and it almost came up on me. Because, Mr. Radford, I can't guzzle anymore, and I'd forgotten that. So I have to be careful when chugging beverages of any denomination or sort, because I can't chug.
You're done chugging. Your college days are over.
My college days have been over for a long time, but my chugging days are now long behind me as well. I have to sip, and I'd forgotten that. And, you know, when you're thirsty, like from sweating, you know how good like a cold glass of water is when you're really thirsty, like when you're really hot and thirsty? I can't do that anymore.
So what's the alternative then?
Sipping nice and slow and steady.
Does that do it though?
And it'll have to because I don't have a choice.
Guess, yeah.
You know, because the stomach is so much smaller that there's only so much room in there. So when I, you know, and again, it's liquid, so it's going to pass quickly enough. But, you know, it's going to go in and out of my stomach quickly enough. But it was just weird. It was weird to have that, you know, to have that experience, that sensation. But anyway, so that's what I did Saturday. Yesterday we went out to the Eastern Market Flower Show, which was fabulous. Lots and lots of people out there. And you know, all things considered, they were anticipating well over 200,000 people. And not that they were all going to come at once, but there was a huge crowd. But all things considered, they were able to get traffic in and out of there without much of a problem. It didn't seem to be. I mean, there were lines, of course, but it wasn't bad, and you know, some really beautiful stuff. We bought a lot of flowers. They had lots of other vendors there selling different kinds of goods. Lots of food vendors there. Not that that mattered to me very much this time around. But all things considered, it was a nice weekend. How was yours?
It was good. It was. I did the same thing I do every summer. Find out that I can't apply suntan lotion and even amounts all over, so I look like a spotted cow. But other than that, it was fun. I went golfing on Saturday with some relatives and hung out in the lake the rest of the time.
Well, good for you. I actually, Saturday morning, I had a consultation at the gym with a trainer, which is part of my, you know, part of the package that I have. So I went, and they do an assessment. They assess your, you know, this strength training and all that stuff. Anyways, you go through this rather lengthy process, and they show you how to use a lot of the equipment in the circuit room, and they show you how to use some of the free weights, and everything is now, of course, done online. So you actually, when you go in there, like when I go in there today, I have a file now. My workout will be pre-printed for me. I just grab it. I grab a clipboard, and I just follow the program, and then I should, you know, you tell them how long you want to be there. So from the time you leave to the time, or I'm sorry, from the time you get there to the time you leave, how long do you want to be there? Then they modify your workout to accommodate how long you're going to be there. So when I get there today, there will be a pre-printed sheet that I'll just grab, and I'll start, you know, doing my circuit training. And, you know, you do so much cardio, and the cardio is basically up to you. The thing I'm going to have trouble with is crunches because, well, you know me, I'm not built for that, but that's okay. It's the beginning part of the process.
Yeah, everyone has trouble with those though.
But
nobody likes doing those. Those are like everyone that I know that works out, that's like the one thing it's just like, yeah, yeah. No, nobody likes those. Nobody's good at those either. Nobody's like just pounding them out and whatever. I mean, at the gym, I don't ever see anyone going nuts about crunches.
Yeah, and what I just learned on Saturday is that the program that I'm doing is called Active Tracks, which I don't know anything about, to be honest with you. But they do require you at the end of every workout to do some crunches, and then you have to do cardio. Then they tell you to do at least 20 minutes of cardio after every workout. Now, you don't always, with regard to strength training, you're obviously not always working the same muscle group every time you're there, but that's the whole point of doing this. So when you're done with your workout, you keep track of what you did and your reps and so on and so forth, and then you put it back in a different file, and then they go ahead and put all your information in, and then after 20 visits, they go ahead and reassess you, and then they change your workout accordingly. So we'll see how it goes. I mean, I'm open to giving this this program a try, because I really don't know what I'm doing, and my option isn't to bring someone with me that does know. That's not my option. So this should work out. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's the best thing, is looking forward to it.
Yes. So then we'll see after a few days. I'm not going to judge it immediately. I have no idea what's in store for me, because I'm not seeing what they have planned for me.
But I think the best thing when you start working out, even when you're working out, so occasionally, I don't have the option either. I mean, I go to the gym solo and whatever, but if you have somebody that you can do stuff with, it makes things go by easier, and it really helps out. Over the weekend, Sunday morning, me and my dad went for a 4-mile walk. Now, I didn't know it was going to be 4 miles. He does this, you know, this route that he does, and he's just like, I'm going to go for a walk. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll join you. What the hell? It's, you know, Sunday morning. And we get back, and he was like, well, that was our 4-mile walk. I'm like, 4 miles? Man, that went by so fast, because I just didn't realize. We were sitting there talking the whole time, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, that in that's how you, you know, especially at the gym, if you to stay motivated, you get somebody to help make things go easier.
Well, you know, again, I guess as long, and I'm looking at the time I need to be there, or the time I'm allowing myself to be there, is, you know, it should actually go by quicker now that it'll be more structured. So we'll see what happens. We'll take a quick break here. It is, what is it? It's 17 minutes after 6 o'clock. And we got a lot to get to in this hour. Bob Ficano is still making news, and I don't know if he's in denial. I don't know if he's just being tough. I don't know. Maybe he's being a good leader. I don't know, but we'll get to some of that and a lot more. Of course, you're always welcome to give us a call. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Let's take the break, and we'll be back right after this.
First Shift with Tony Trubino.
Barack Obama is a moderate progressive with the emphasis on moderate. Most socialists are insulted when Barack Obama is called a socialist. It's absurd that this man is a socialist.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
There are no accidents to report at this time, just some construction slowdowns. I-275 southbound between the I-96 and M-14 exit and the Ford Road exit. It'll be reduced to 2 lanes, and this is going on until late July. Also, the ramp to I-94 eastbound is closed at M-39 Southfield Freeway, southbound at I-94. I'm Tim, and that's your toll traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 78 degrees, and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Ross, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Elizabeth Weidger joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state, so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW,
unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour. We again encourage you to join us. 888-552-3595. Jeff, the amazing weekend In some regards for the Tigers, although they didn't sweep, certainly two out of three ain't bad, and especially the first of the two. I'm talking about Justin Verlander's performance Friday night. Once again, this kid is a kid. Well, he is a kid to me. I'm actually old enough to be his father.
In a Star Wars-like scenario, you could be his father.
In a Star Wars-like
scenario. That's what it sounded like. I'm your father.
No, I could be. I'm old enough to be. Anyway, Justin Verlander, again, another amazing performance.
No, he fell short, so it wasn't that great.
No, stop.
Eight and a third. A third. And then they pull this kid comes in out of nowhere, who, by the way, ended up having like a great weekend against the Tigers, that Harrison, the young kid that they have. Fresh off the bench, he's just rolling through the entire lineup, and the first two pitches he gives this kid are like down in the dirt. Wait, you know, they hit the dirt before it even gets to the plate. He's swinging away like crazy, and I'm thinking, you don't even have to throw anything close to the strike zone for him to swing. And yet he ends up being the one who pops out a hit, and it was like, I can imagine the entire sigh around Detroit, the entire, like, you know, breath of the air being let out of the balloon, because I had family down at the game that were constantly texting me about how great the atmosphere was, and it was going to be history in the making. And I mean, obviously I was glued. I had people texting me around the end of the seventh inning saying it's, you know, and that's the best thing. The texts I get from friends and the texts I send to people to let them know what's going on, you can't mention there's a no-hitter going on, but you can find clever ways to make it known, like, hey, are you watching the Tigers right now? Because I don't send text out every single Tigers game like that. But I'm like, you know, there's no reason you shouldn't be watching the Tigers right now, stuff like that, kind of hint that there's a special thing going on.
Not mentioning, of course. By the way, Christine Berry is live tweeting the show today.
I've seen that.
I'm getting a kick out of that. Good morning, Christine. We'll talk to you in a couple hours. Yeah, anyway, it was obviously another special performance by Justin Verlander. And even Max Scherzer's 15-strikeout performance yesterday in a 4-3 win for the Tigers was pretty special. First time in 40 years a pitcher has struck out, a Tigers pitcher has struck out that many batters. And you have to like the weekend.
Yeah, he was on fire. It was just nuts. And they were going off on the radio about how many times. I think all 15 strikeouts were third strike swinging. So the call
really?
Never,
that's got to be unusual.
Yeah, and that's what they kept saying. They couldn't find a way to look it up, but they didn't. You know, neither Dan nor Jim could remember the time that 15 strikeouts all happened on the third strike swinging. So that's pretty unusual, and he was so dominant. It was odd to hear him give up the two home runs. I mean, the other stat was, you know, teams are batting 500 against him when they swing at the first pitch. So he's obviously really trying to get first pitch strikes across, and they know it. And of course, Barajas' home run was a first pitch fastball that he turned down real quickly. And so I think Scherzer's got to do something to mask the first pitch, that it's not so obvious that he's going to throw a good one to you.
Well, you know, it's a special weekend. Although we went into the weekend with my saying how much I hated interleague play, and I still do, but doesn't matter. We had a good weekend, and certainly a nice article in yesterday's Free Press about Prince Fielder. I don't know if you saw it, Jeff, but really, just a nice story about how well he's fitting into the clubhouse, the $214 million man. And I guess if I was being paid $214 million over a certain period of time, I could probably get along with just about anybody. I'm just saying.
As long as he's picking up some checks?
Yeah.
And taking some guys out to dinner?
I'm sure he is. I'll
everyone but Verlander, because he couldn't get the job done.
Well, I don't think that Justin Verlander listens to the show, which is the only reason why you're showing such bravado this morning.
Oh, okay. So if we knew that he was tuned in right now,
you'd be kissing his ass. I'm saying.
No, I'm this is not completely, you know, serious talk. So
I know it's not.
He would know as well. The funny thing is, right, maybe it's not so funny, is he does that commercial for the video games about, you know, trying to get into the room where Kay Upton is the security guard, and it's only for people who've thrown perfect games. And I mean, you just saw over the weekend how tough it is to throw a no-hitter. I mean, he really had a good claim on a perfect game. The two walks were iffy, and then if he could just get by Harrison, that's the difference, though. Just like an inch between, you know, him getting him lining out to the shortstop or whatever, or him getting the call on the walks, and maybe the situation's changed. It's nuts to see the difference between the fine line between a perfect game, between a no-hitter, and then a one-hitter that looks as spectacular as Friday.
What do you make of Jim Leland's statement that it was one of the best pitched games he's ever seen?
Jim Leland just loves Verlander. He'll say that no matter what. I don't think that's one of the... I mean, it was a great pitched game, don't get me wrong, but I tend to think, yeah, he's got two no-hitters in his history already, and those were pretty outstanding. What about Galarraga's against the Indians? I thought that was a well-pitched game.
I'm sure that was a well-pitched game. I just thought it was interesting. I often wonder, you know, if Jim Leland's been at this game a long time. I don't know how many years he's been managing in baseball, but certainly he understands the psychological aspect of it, and that was clear this week.
This might sound dumb, but which one were you more impressed with pitching wise, Scherzer's or Verlander's?
Probably Scherzer's, I kind of do have a reason. I'm not expecting that performance from Scherzer, so it makes it a little bit more impressive. But the strikeout 15 is just that's very, very difficult to do. Not that what Verlander did wasn't difficult either. It's just we've kind of come to expect this from him, haven't we?
See, that's where I was going to go with it, and I kind of thought that you would say, well, Verlander's, because he's one hit away from a no-hitter, and then, but I think me and you are on the same page as far as the lower, you say lower expectations, but I mean, every pitcher in the league should have lower expectations other than Verlander, maybe Halliday, and maybe Kershaw, and then everyone else. I mean, no one's, you know, in JV's range right now, so everyone has lower expectations.
Well, I think it justifies certainly the Cy Young for last year. I think it also solidifies his MVP for last year. This is, again, and Jeff, we have to stop and look, and it's because it's happening in this year, again this year, where Justin Verlander comes in and reverses a series of losses. So, you know, you got to give him credit for being able to do that. He doesn't know what kind of run support he's going to get. He has no clue.
Well, and think about Scherzer. Jeez, you pitch a game like that, and you make two mistakes, and you leave the game basically down. Now, thank goodness they scored the runs when they did, so he'd get the win. But hey, talk about not getting any run support. I'm thinking he's pitching a great game and two mistakes, two solo shots, and he's not going to win this game. That was nuts.
No, Smiley's not getting run support either.
Well, so. About Pfister?
I mean, okay, fair enough. I mean, nobody's
getting
the
offense is just not giving enough run support to some of these guys.
That'll work. That'll work. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to some audio. Of course, you're welcome to join us, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. A pleasure to be with you this morning. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
There are no accidents to report at this time, just some construction slowdowns. I-275 southbound between the I-96 and M-14 exit and the Ford Road exit. It'll be reduced to two lanes, and this is going on until late July. Also, the ramp to I-94 eastbound is closed at M-39 Southfield Freeway, southbound at I-94. I'm Tim, and that's your toll traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to have a high of 78 degrees, and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Woody Guthrie wrote a song titled Jolly Banker, a perfect pitch parody of the propensity of Depression-era bankers to feel good about gouging small borrowers. Woody's song could also apply to the gouging we're getting from today's national chain banks, except the song's title should be Snarling Banker. Only a couple of years ago, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and others were quite jolly because they were piling up mountains of profits through such sneaky schemes as secretly enrolling customers in checking accounts that charged $35 a pop for every overdrawn check. Then, rigging the flow of checks so unwitting customers would be overdrawn. Public outrage exploded, especially because only a year earlier, we the people had bailed out these same banks. Thus, Congress shut down some of the worst gouges. This pinched bankers' exorbitant profits a bit, and they've been snarling ever since. Banks aren't charities, they bark, apparently thinking that somebody might have mistaken them as such. One thing you can count on is that banker greed is bottomless, and it's now coming back with a vengeance. Of course, they could make money honestly, as community banks and credit unions do, by making good loans and delivering good service. But instead, they're returning to what they call creative banking. You would call it fee gouging. Wells Fargo now hits you for $15 a month just to have a checking account, unless you keep at least $7,500 in your account. Citibank charges $20 a month unless you keep $15,000 on deposit, more than double last year's level. Bank fees for money orders have doubled, and fees for cashier's checks have quadrupled. This is Jim Hightower saying there is a way out of this endless abuse-the-consumer game. Move your money out of their vaults. For help, go to moveyourmoneyproject.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Happy Monday to you, one and all. Bob Picano sat down with Devin Scillian and recorded an interview. He goes through a variety of issues, but the one thing is for sure. He starts off in a very short segment by saying, frankly, he just won't resign.
No, I'm not going to resign. I have not done anything that is wrong. And what I have done is held people accountable, and they've separated, and they've gone from that. I mean, it makes for a great theater, great drama.
All right. Then he goes on to say that he isn't the one doing the wrong. In fact, what he's really doing is fixing the problems. Let's hear what he has to say.
But really what we have to look at is the county really being hurt right now. Were there some people I trusted that didn't do the right thing? Yes, but we immediately separated them from the county, and we took immediate action. To me, an executive, what they do is as soon as they find out something's wrong, it's what you do once you do find out, and you pursue it and make sure that they're separated and you take the right action.
All right, and then he, of course, feels that he has to talk about, you know, and I think this is fair, not just what's wrong, but what's right in Wayne County. This is what he had to say.
This type of situation breeds a couple of opportunities, people that try to take political opportunity and those that try to take some financial opportunity at the same time. We're going to be firm, we're going to do the right things, and we're going to move forward. For example, we haven't missed a beat regarding the county and what's functioning and going day-to-day. We haven't missed paying any vendors. We're meeting our payroll. Our investments in the county have been tremendous. The first quarter, we have $340 million that has been invested. Erotropolis is really blooming. It's really starting to take off. So we're moving the county forward. Even last year, we had a balanced budget. We have a little bit of a surplus. We have a deficit elimination plan that we're working with the state that because of some of the structural deficit, they seem to be enthused about that. So we continue to move forward, and we see positive things happening. Well, there's some people that may have done something, it's accused right now of doing some things wrong. And what you do is you make them accountable and you move forward. If we focus on the things that make a difference to people day in and day out instead of election year theatrics, I think we're going to be much further ahead.
All right. And as we reported on this show, Stephen Henderson, who is a regular contributor to our Wednesday program, wrote that if this were a privately held company and Bob Vicano were a CEO, chances are by now he would have been asked to leave or been forced out long ago. Bob Vicano responds to that.
Well, it's how a top official is held is what they do and who they hold accountable. For example, J.P. Morgan, a $2 billion mistake. The CEO said, these people below me made a mistake, and they separated and they moved them. Walmart, the CEO, there's obviously situations in Mexico of paying illegal bribes against federal statutes and laws. The CEO said, there's a problem here. We separate and we move people aside. I'm doing the same thing. The same thing as they are. So it's the same corporate standard.
All right, so here's, this is part of what's a little confusing on all this for me. Because it all sounds great, right? And Bob Ficano was quoted also in an article I read over the weekend saying, I've been in public service for 30 years, and everybody's focusing on the last 6 months. What about the 29 and a half years of positive service I've given to the people of Wayne County? Well, it's politics, Bob, so you're only as good as your last whatever. And your last whatever is not good. And that's the problem. The problem is you surrounded yourself seemingly with people that you couldn't trust. And that is very troublesome. I mean, think about that. And so as we look at what's happening in the county, and is it fair to say that things in Wayne County aren't good? No, I don't know. They certainly have some problems. There's an article in today's Detroit Free Press that deals in some ways with the financial burden of Wayne County and how they're looking to make up some of the deficits by taking some grant money and keeping it for non-grant purposes, which, of course, in my opinion, would be, well, I don't know if illegal is the right word, but I don't think it'd be proper. So we take a look at all of that, and we continue to ask ourselves, can you really surround yourself? I mean, your first tier managers with people that are now being charged and or found guilty of felonies, and say, well, listen, I'm just doing my job. Maybe the voters will decide. Maybe Bob will realize by the time he gets to run again that there's not enough love for a Bob Vicano administration to keep him at the top job. And maybe, like so many things in politics, our memories are so short that come re-election for Bob Vicano, well, people will just do what they usually do. Close their eyes and do it anyway. All right. WDIV Channel 4, and for those of you that have been following the story since last week, last Friday, the city attorney said that the consent agreement may not be legal. And then they were saying, he said as well, that the mayor didn't want the consent deal. Well, the mayor says, no, that's not quite how it happened. This is what WDIV Channel 4 is reporting.
Says today he does support the city law department's right to question whether the city's consent agreement with the state is a valid one.
Well, his statement comes 24 hours after he emphatically said he did not authorize the action, and that's leading some to call him a liar. Our Guy Gordon helps sort it all out.
But it was not by your direction?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you.
Absolutely not.
Did you tell her not to send it? Did you authorize it?
No, I didn't authorize it.
You did not authorize
it? No.
That's what the mayor told me yesterday. Council members who were there when Mayor Bing was originally informed of the letter questioned his recollection and his honesty.
Council and the mayor were definitely on the same page.
What do you think's changed since then?
I have no idea. I haven't talked to the mayor, so I don't know what's changed.
So Jenkins and others were surprised at the Pancakes and Politics Forum when Bing said this about the letter.
I was supportive because I think by law, all of us said around the table that we're going to follow the law. We were not going to break the law. So I was supportive of that.
At issue, city charter language and ordinances saying the city cannot enter into an agreement with an entity that has an outstanding debt with the city. With the law department's challenge, the issue may end up in court. Mayor Bing says he supports resolving the legal questions, but that a lawsuit could create a costly and destructive mess.
I don't think that we've got the capacity to get into a lawsuit and try to do the things to fix the city. My job is to concentrate on fixing the city. There's a signed agreement that's in play, and we're moving forward with that.
He has 137 million reasons to be concerned because under the consent deal, the city was receiving state permission to float $137 million in bonds to avoid payless paydays and stay in business. Additional revenues could be jeopardized by the deal if it breaks down in court.
Mayor, yesterday you didn't support the letter. Today you said you did.
We sought additional clarification, but the mayor let his new version stand.
All right, so the question is, what did he or didn't he, was he or wasn't he, can he or can't he? Mayor Bing, you're making this a lot harder than it has to be, aren't you? Just yes or no answers to yes or no questions is pretty straightforward. And, well, interestingly, Nolan Finley, because you got to know that when it's Monday, that means a Sunday of a usually nonsensical column from Nolan Finley, who says that Governor Rick Snyder made a huge mistake by doing the consent agreement, that he should have just gone straight to emergency manager because, and he gave as an example, the project manager job, which should have been filled by now, still is not filled because the mayor and the governor's office cannot agree on who that appointee should be. And until they do, and there's a 30-day extension to figure that out, the job goes unfilled, which means it delays the tenant of the consent agreement. What does this all mean? I don't know. I don't know. I don't. Does it delay really anything? Is it going to help, hurt, pause? time will tell, but I, again, find it unfathomable that, well, interestingly, the people that seem to support and embrace the Emergency Manager Law Public Act 4 all seem to be people that in their own right are quite comfortable with who they are and where they're at. And I mean financially and no other and no other way. I don't know that they're comfortable being Republicans or they're comfortable being leadership, people in leadership. I don't know all that. I do know that they are mostly comfortable financially, or they were told, you will agree with this because it's what we want you to do, and you're going to toe the party line. Ergo, we win. Yay. But what Public Act 4 does above all things is it really eliminates democracy at its core. And that's, of course, you. You are at the core of democracy, are you not? Yeah, of course you are. When you're elected representatives are no longer allowed or are limited in any way from doing their jobs, the jobs that you, quote-unquote, hired them to do by electing them on election day. Is this really where government needs to be? You know, they often, and I mean, of course, Republicans, say that Democrats want bigger and more controlled government. Yet it is the Republicans who seem to thrive in this model that says, let us control, let us control. I was, you know, always, because I've been paying attention, thinking that that's, of course, what you thought the Democrats wanted. Come to find out that's not what we wanted all along, which, had you been paying attention, you would have known that anyway. The city of Detroit has problems, and these are problems that need to be fixed. Are they any closer? That's the question. We'll take a break here. Some national politics when we continue. And again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. By the way, we still have 8 copies of the book, In Defense of Teachers, to give away. If you want one, all you need to do is give us a call, 888-552-3595. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trivia.
Richard, good morning to you. How you doing today?
Great, Tony. Wow, wonderful show, man. Since you've been on, it's been a breath of fresh air, I got to tell you.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
First Shift with Tony Trivano.
Joining us now is my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark.
Student loan debt, it's a debt that can never go away. You can go bankrupt and the government will still force you to pay on your student loans. You could be 80 years old, like I met a lady, and she still has to pay on her student loans, even though she's on a fixed income and she'll never be able to pay it off. This debt is also costing us jobs, because think about it, our graduates, those who are motivated, disciplined, and ambitious to go to school and get their education, they're the ones likely to go into business to create jobs. But they can't do that because they're in so much student loan debt, they don't have the money to start their own business or buy a home or maybe even get married.
On 1310 WDTW, unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you.
Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now. 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
All right, welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Speaker of the House, John Boehner. In a purely partisan unnecessary move is asking for a debate on the debt ceiling long before we need it, and certainly before the election. So what is the point of doing that? We'll let you make that decision, but this is what the speaker had to say.
No, George, the issue is the debt. Now, people aren't clamoring to invest in Greece today. And if we don't begin to deal with our debt and our deficit in an honest and serious way, we're not going to have many options. Listen, I'm not going to apologize for leading. The real issue here is, will the president lead?
Well, as you know, a lot of people say that what makes us like Greece is putting the question of whether or not we're going to pay our bills, making that a political question. That's what the economist said.
Well, George, remember, again, this is about jobs. If we really are serious about getting the American people back to work, removing the clouds of uncertainty are important. We look at the end of the year. We're looking at the largest tax increase in American history on January the 1st. We're looking at big cuts to our Department of Defense. They're going to affect our ability to keep Americans safe. And we're looking at an increase in the debt limit. Why do we want to wait and rush this through at the end of the year after the election?
But you know this is not going to happen between now and the election.
George, it's important that we actually do what the American people sent us here to do. Why do we always have to allow elections to get in the way of doing the right thing?
Oh, sweet God, does this guy believe anything he says? Now, his counterpart in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, well, he says that he and Mr. Boehner are the only adults in the room. You're going to love this. Well, this is rich. You're going to love this.
The Wall Street Journal said last year, in fact, I read this quote to you on Face the Nation the morning before you finally worked out the compromise. The Wall Street Journal said then, the debt limit hobbit should also realize that at this point, the Washington fracas they are prolonging isn't helping their cause. Republicans are not looking like adults to whom voters can entrust the government. Aren't you just setting yourself up for the same kind of situation again?
Let me tell you what isn't adult behavior. You know how the Democrats raised the debt ceiling in the previous Congress? They airdropped it into Obamacare. Nobody got to vote on it. That's how seriously they take the debt ceiling. Our view is a request of any president to raise the debt ceiling is a serious matter because it underscores the way we have been engaged in excessive spending and borrowing, particularly over the last 3.5 years. It is the perfect time, Bob, the perfect time to engage in a discussion about doing something serious about deficit and debt. We could not get this president to do anything serious about entitlement reform, for example, the single biggest threat to future generations. So at some point here, this president needs to become the adult. Because the Speaker and I have been the adults in the room arguing that we ought to do something about the nation's most serious long-term problem.
Okay, and, you know, the ridiculousness of the base argument there is again, going back how many years that the debt ceiling was just an automatic thing, increasing it. Now, listen, does that mean that we don't need to have a discussion about debt? No, that does not mean that. Does it mean that the Democrats haven't been willing to negotiate? Yes, they have, in spite of what the Republicans say. But it's critical that we understand that this isn't about who is the adult in the room. because if they were really either Boehner or McConnell being adults, they would have never had these discussions to begin with. In fact, it's quite juvenile to do what both of them have done, and I'll let that stand on its own. Carl Rove says the Reverend Jeremiah Wright is the wrong move for super PACs. What are we talking about? Well, it seems that the president is maybe a little tougher to get at than originally thought. And although it is the Romney campaign that's complaining that it's about character assassination, is it really the Romney campaign that should be complaining after all? Let's listen to what Carl Rove had to say.
Speaking from the perspective of the super PAC, you want to try and do things that you think will be helpful to the candidate and not things that will be hurtful. And frankly, trying to dredge up Jeremiah Wright, right or wrong, after this issue was litigated 4 years ago by John McCain deciding not to litigate it, was stupid. And so you want to try and do things that are helpful, not hurtful. And look, I thought it was very smart for the Romney campaign to immediately go out and denounce the tactic. It certainly sent a message to everybody in America what they wanted the campaign to be about, and it certainly sent a message to people involved in the super PACs, don't be doing stupid things like this.
Okay. Well, now, that we'll come back to that in just a moment, but I do have to say, well, here, let me do it now. To question it, and now you see you have to think strategically. Just follow me for a moment. It's one thing to question and say it's the wrong thing to do, and then to see it go out and have them have it happen anyway. And what I'm saying is, for lack of fumbling through this, if the Romney campaign says, hey, listen, this is the wrong way to go, they shouldn't attack Jeremiah Wright. We've done that. Carl Wolf said they had this battle 4 years ago. Yet they go out and do it anyway. Well, at least the campaign can say, well, we asked them not to do it, and frankly, it's their money. It's their super PAC. They're going to do what they want to do. I'm not buying it. I don't think you are either. And last but not least this hour, David Gregory asked Jim Cramer from Mad Money about Mitt Romney's reputation on the economy, as we do have something to measure him against. He was the governor of Massachusetts. This is what Jim Cramer had to say.
Jim Cramer, this is an area of strength now for Romney on the economy. Right. I showed that chart earlier. He's got some traction. What does this ad say to you about their approach and his potential effectiveness?
Well, I think that the specifics are good. In other words, people recognize that that pipeline would have created jobs. But at the same time, Romney's known as a job destroyer, not a creator. I just don't think that this will stick. I think Boehn sticks. I think the idea that you bring in Boehn, which is what happened in the 80s, they fire a lot of people, and that's how they get prosperity for the rich. And that is a more resonant theme, I think, than anything that Romney's come up with.
All right. So the question we all ask ourselves, I'll just throw it out there, let you guys ruminate on it as you're getting ready to go to work or perhaps on your way there. Is that really what will stick? That he is a job eliminator, not a job creator. That he really doesn't. Yes, he's turned companies around. There's no question he's made them profitable. But as we have plenty of examples from the steel industry to the office supply industry and many in between, we can definitively prove that when Bain Capital came in, they dismantled what was a going, thriving concern, and did they make it, quote-unquote, profitable? Depends on which segment of that company you are working for, because your job may have been eliminated. In fact, your department may have been eliminated, maybe sold off only to be closed down, which was the whole point to begin with, right? I'm just saying, I hope Jim Cramer's right. And Jim Cramer's, by the way, not a Democrat. Not by a long stretch. All right, a quick break here. Amongst the topics in the next hour, stand your ground, gay marriage, and activism. All of that and more on First Shift. Stay with us for the top of the hour break, and First Shift continues after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There are no accidents to report out on the roadways, but there are some slow traffic and construction going on. I-75 northbound between West Road and Sibley Road, you can expect a 2-minute delay there. Also, the ramp to I-94 westbound is closed at Wayne Road, northbound at I-94. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 78 degrees and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit, NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. The NATO meeting in Chicago wraps up today. President Obama reaffirming the goal of ending the Afghan war in 2014.
Just as we've sacrificed together for our common security, we will stand together united in our determination to complete this mission.
Today's talks come after protests turned violent yesterday, leading to dozens of arrests. Tropical storm Alberto is heading out to sea after threatening the coasts of Georgia and South Carolina. Forecasters say both states could get heavy rain and dangerous surf from the Atlantic season's first storm. Wall Street looking to break a three-week skid. Stock futures do point to a higher open. And Avengers sank Battleship at the box office, cruising to the top spot for the third straight weekend, collecting $55 million. The Marvel Comics superheroes torpedoed the board game adaptation, Battleship settling for just $23 million amid mediocre reviews. This is NBC News Radio. Scottish police say they'll keep investigating the 1988 Lockerbie bombing, despite the death of the only person convicted in the case, Abdel Megrahi, dying of cancer 3 years after his controversial release from prison. Bert Ammerman's brother was among the 270 victims.
There'll never be closure for any of us when your loved one's been blown out of the air at 31,000 feet. But it is another step in some form of justice. The families for 24 years now have been trying to seek the truth.
Marijuana is on the minds of Garden State lawmakers. New Jersey considering a bill that would make possession of pot akin to a parking violation. Currently, the penalty is up to 6 months in the slammer and a $1,000 fine. And if you're heading outside, don't forget the shades. A report by the Vision Council says UV rays are just as harmful to eyes as they are to skin. They say more people, even kids, need to wear sunglasses because eyes, like skin, can suffer long-term damage from the sun. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
On my journey to help save people money on car insurance, people have been really surprised to learn that GEICO can also help with renter's insurance. They're even more surprised when I tell them it costs as little as $12 a month. But perhaps what's most surprising is that I still live with my mum. Yeah, I know, I really should start thinking about renting my own place. But then I'd have to get my own tea kettle. Sofa, shower curtain, soap dish.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Gentlemen, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
A lot of news surrounding mergers heading into this Monday, and that often ignites investors to go on a bit of a buying spree. First, Chinese regulators finally have approved Google's proposed acquisition of Motorola Mobility. That means the final hurdle to the $12.5 billion deal has been cleared, closing on track for this week. China's Wanda Group confirms earlier reports it's buying U.S. movie theater operator AMC Entertainment for $2.6 billion. It creates the world's largest cinema conglomerate. DaVita, the nation's largest operator of dialysis clinics, says it's spending $4.4 billion cash in stock to buy Physicians Network Healthcare Partners. Yahoo is making news not for what it's buying, but for what it's selling. Half of its stake in Chinese e-commerce firm Alibaba. The sale raises $7.1 billion for Yahoo. Japan's stock indexes were higher today. Most European markets are up. S&P futures are gaining 9 points. NASDAQ futures up 19. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it.
unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow. It's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera.
Dr. Marie.
So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Doctor. Learn more about Kyocera technology like the 50-page per minute Task Alpha 5550 CI Color MFP at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com/US.
Chances are there's a favorite shirt or sweater in your closet with the Lands' End label inside. You know us for classic American style and quality that's guaranteed, period. Now meet Lands' End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality unifies teams and makes brands better. Small companies to market leaders like Caterpillar and Southwest Airlines are dressing employees at Lands' End Business Outfitters. Find out why at landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea. Most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from Accountemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call Accountemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from Accountemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
An idea. A thought. Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work. Teamwork. Pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. Today is a Monday, May 21st, 2012, 6 minutes after 7 o'clock. And again, as we promised in the last hour, a very busy and enlightening hour in this 7 o'clock hour. We will, of course, at 7:50 check in with Occupy Detroit. At the bottom of this hour, State Representative Timothy Bledsoe will be with us to talk about the challenge to Michigan's Stand Your Ground law. You know, in and of itself, just the name may be a little too aggressive for some, but we'll have that conversation. And then, as I also promised, actually we talked about this on Friday, and it's that time. For those of you that are paying attention over the weekend, the NAACP endorsed gay marriage. Now you say, well, what's the big deal about that? Listen, the minority community, especially the black community, has some issues with homosexuality. And when I say has some issues, it's not as simple as it sounds. And we can talk about that in greater detail a little later on. But it is significant that they support equality, and that's what this is about. Well, speaking of equality, we're going to turn now to Equality Michigan to have our next discussion. And joining me is the policy director of Equality Michigan, Emily Devendorf. And Emily, I want to thank you so much for joining us today to talk about really what has been about a two-week period of time where what may have been moved off the front page has not necessarily moved off the top of people's minds. And I'm talking about the gay marriage issue. Welcome to First Shift.
Thank you. And if anything, that announcement that was made by the NAACP this weekend is all the more evidence that this is a now issue for the majority of Americans, and our leaders are starting to recognize that regardless of whether it no longer is a headline.
How significant is the NAACP's announcement this weekend that they support gay marriage?
Well, there is an assumption that the African American community lacks support for gay rights. And in the past, it has been somewhat of a challenge to find support within the African-American community because there is a very strong religious foundation in the African-American community. But in fact, there has been polling, an ABC News Washington Post survey recently polled African-Americans as being 54% in support of gay marriage. So as with everybody else in the country, for African-Americans, this issue has evolved for them. And that is that it has become an issue of fundamental fairness and not as much of an issue as how to legitimize which families.
Well, I think that's a pretty neat way to put this, Emily. You know, let's go back to the president's conversation with on ABC, where he definitively said, although he'd been evolving, and this was, of course, I don't think of a surprise to anybody that he would necessarily come out in favor of or for gay marriage. Certainly, for those of us that really understand politics, this was not an uncalculated move, in my opinion. I think that Joe Biden's announcement didn't force the president to do anything. I think they knew exactly what they were doing, and that's all well and good. But, Emily, you know, there are people within, in both inside and outside the LGBT community that legitimately can say, well, what the hell took so long? You know,
yeah.
And I think that that's a fair assessment. You know, this was supposedly the administration, and they did. Don't ask, don't tell. We've got to give them credit for that. But we expected more and much sooner, didn't we?
Absolutely. And the reason that we expected more and much sooner is because every second, every day that we do not see progress on equality, it isn't symbolic. It isn't us just merely saying that equality isn't recognized for everybody in the country. It's actually harming families. Just without federal equal rights for marriage, gay and lesbian couples are unable to access 1,138 federal benefits that come with marriage and provide critical protections and services for our families. So it's a matter of actual tangible harm when there is not marriage equality and equal rights across the board. Now, it wasn't a surprise to us that President Obama had taken so long to, quote unquote, evolve on the issue. This is a very, very personal internal debate for the majority of Americans. This is not something that they consider some public debate for them. This is something they have to work out within themselves, although most people are deciding that regardless of how they feel personally on the issue or what they're comfortable with, being uncomfortable is not an excuse for harming other people or for making our neighbors feel excluded and denying them access to basic resources.
Well, you know, and I have to ask what would be the obvious question. We'll come back to the greater community, or the heterosexual community, or even the confused community, because I think people aren't nearly as confused as they let on. I'll be honest with you on that, Emily. But let's talk about the LGBT community. How supportive are they of gay marriage? I mean, is this something that's important within the community?
It's important within the entire community in that everybody should have access to the same things, to the same resources, to the same access. That doesn't mean that the whole gay community believes that gay marriage or marriage is the institution that they would like to go with. For a lot of people, even within the gay community, that is a religious institution. And we have a very strong faith community, many faith communities within the gay and transgender community. But just like the average American, that's not necessarily how they want to recognize their relationship, but they at least want access to the option to recognize their relationship with marriage.
Well, but, you know, again, Emily, we go back to something you just said, and of course, there are legal obstacles to overcome. So if we don't embrace, and listen, I've had people on this show, I mean, multiple times. I've been dealing with LGBT issues throughout most of my 18-year-plus career in broadcasting, and I've had people literally in the last year on this program that are you know, trying to adopt each other's gay couples that are trying to adopt each other's children strictly for medical reasons, that God forbid one child ends up in the hospital. It's the DeBoer family comes to mind when I had them on. They have all these special needs children. If one of them ends up in the hospital, and one parent has access to that kid, this is ridiculous.
And actually, it gets worse than that. You're talking about second parent adoption rights, and sometimes in those cases where there are two parents, they've been with the children for the first, 15 years of maybe a child's life, and if the parent who is by Michigan law the legal custody of that child dies, that child can go right into the foster care, despite never having been in foster care, despite our foster care system overflowing with kids that need homes, and despite that child already having a parent that loves them, knows them, and can care for them. So there are legal rights that extend way beyond just medical access and actually extends to people losing their children.
All right. Well, now, let's, because there's more to this than, of course, there's always more to this stuff than meets the eye, that the president came out in favor of gay marriage. That gives us opportunities for lots of different conversations. But that doesn't mean that we're necessarily making the kind of progress we want to make. What I wanted to bring up to you right now is something called the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Where are we legislatively with that, Emily, and what's the prognosis for that act?
We expect some conversation on the federal level on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act any day now, and that's faster progress than we had expected. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act is more comprehensive than the executive order we've been asking the president to make, in that it prohibits discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in both public and private employment. And the executive order that you may have heard the gay community asking President Obama to sign would only cover federal contractors. Now, the controversy is that whether we start to talk about the Employment Non-Discrimination Act right now or not, we frankly don't have the votes in Congress to pass this right now. So if this is a matter of how do we protect the most people the soonest, we would be asking President Obama to sign the executive order and certainly follow through with pushing for passage of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And this has become, in order to explain why that hasn't happened yet, a states' rights versus a federal rights issue.
Well, and of course, speaking of states' rights, Michigan does have a track record. Emily, I need to ask, because we're up against a break, can I ask you to stay with us a little longer?
Absolutely.
All right. There's much more to get to, and I want to make sure that we have time to do that. Emily Diefendorf is, again, my guest. She is the policy director at Equality Michigan. You're going to find them at equalitymi.org. That's equalitymi.org. We'll make sure we get it posted to the Facebook page as well. So much to get to. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the struggle here in Michigan. We know that in Michigan, gay marriage is unconstitutional. It is now part of our Constitution. And it is a states' rights issue. Or is it? And what happens if we were to come up with federal legislation? Would it usurp what's already in our Constitution? This is not uncomplicated, folks, and it's not unencumbered. And we'll talk about that. We saw what happened with the bullying legislation when they tried to have enumeration in there. Again, this is not easy stuff to deal with. We'll take the break. Much more to get to on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
I'll pay higher taxes. I look at it this way. I can pay higher taxes and people can have jobs, or I can pay lower taxes and I have my kid's teacher asking me for a loan because she's going to lose her house, which is true.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
At Telegraph Road before Hickory Grove Road, there's a disabled vehicle. The center lane is blocked. There's also planned construction at 24 Mile Road. Both the eastbound and westbound lanes will be closed. All lanes will be closed between Foss Road and North Ave. And at I-275 southbound between the I-96 and M-14 exit and Ford Road, it's reduced to two lanes, causing slow traffic in that area. I'm Tim, and that's your toll traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 78 degrees, and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of a college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden, on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
On 1310 WDTW, unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter. Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest again, Emily Devendorf. She is the policy director for Equality Michigan. Again, you're going to find them online at EqualityMI. That's EqualityMI.org. And Emily, as we take a look at the constitutional amendment, the successful constitutional amendment a few years back, we take a look at things like the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act. We take a look at the what I consider to be the disastrous anti-bullying legislation that finally found its way through the state legislature. And then we take a look at recent polling numbers that don't seem to coexist terribly well with all this confusion. The first set of things I state are not good for equality for the LGBT community. Yet the polling numbers show us that, you know, Michiganders overwhelmingly support equality for the LGBT community. What gives?
They absolutely do. The average Michigan resident supports equality, and they have for a little while now supported equality in the way of access to resources. A 2010 poll showed 65% support for amending our state Civil Rights Act to add employment and housing discrimination protections against discrimination for sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression. And now, as of after President Obama's announcement in support of gay marriage, we have had other polling done that shows that for the first time in history, Michigan residents are polling in favor of marriage equality. And marriage equality is the final frontier when we're talking about public support. This means that when Michigan Ugandans are in favor of marriage equality. They are ready to provide equal rights and fundamental fairness across the board in every way with the second parent adoption, hate crimes, protections, anti-bullying policies that actually work and include enumerated protected categories. So the 2004 amendment to our Constitution, not only is it a really horrible mark on the state's history, but it really is no longer applicable. And those legislators, those leaders that insist that that means that the public in Michigan is not behind equality are merely denying the fact that we have actually evolved and progressed over time in our public perception and perspective and are no longer willing to tolerate a lack of acceptance for the people around us.
Well, and I think, Emily, you just hit it on the head. Legislators, listen, I fascinatingly, and although this doesn't sound like it's related, it very much is. This past weekend, the Republicans met at Cobo for their annual convention, and they replaced some pretty prominent Republicans on the national level from the state of Michigan with extreme Tea Party right-wing conservatives here in the state of Michigan. I don't think they're getting the message, Emily. I don't think legislatively, and again, this is why we need to be careful when we elect people that we do pay attention to what their positions are on issues. Because legislatively, we have especially here in the state of Michigan, from the top down, from the Supreme Court down, we have an extreme mindset as it comes to issues that in other states are non-issues, period. In fact, Michigan could be left in the dust, which is not good for our citizenship. You know, and I would even suggest that people will begin to leave the state of Michigan if we don't start to adjust legislatively the way we treat all people. I'm not even saying LGBT people. All people here in the state of Michigan. We could only be so conservative for so long before it will start to drain our people from the very boundaries in which this state exists.
I absolutely agree. And when I received the news as well this weekend on Saturday that Representative Ageman had been chosen as the GOP National Committeeman, my immediate thought, and I had to pull over. I was in the car. My immediate thought was, yet again, the Republican Party has shown that they're not interested in appointing leadership that actually represents the interests of the constituency. And that is going to hurt them. We're seeing the Republican Party on a national level putting out memos saying that their strategy needs to be revamped to allow them to talk about marriage equality in a positive way and at the very least not in a negative way, because frankly being anti-equality is just not an American quality right now.
You know, and Emily, I didn't have a chance, and shame on me for doing this, but maybe you did. I did not have a chance to go look up what the log cabin, which are Republican, the gay Republicans had to say after the president came out in favor of marriage equality. Do you happen to know how the log cabin Republicans came out on this issue?
You know, I haven't seen their response to this last weekend in Michigan or to the memo that came out, although in the past they have been relatively vocal on how the Republican Party will lose votes, will lose support if they do not acknowledge that the rest of the country has moved on this issue and that it is becoming all the more a non-issue, not just for the people who are in office right now or the people who have families right now, but the whole next generation, even evangelical Christian youth, are very pro-equality, and this is just not even something that they feel is worth their debate. It is a given to them that we should be providing equal access and the ability for people to love and care for their family.
Well, you know, and I've had this conversation. You know, I have a sister that is in a committed gay relationship. Her and her partner are two of the happiest people I know. In fact, if most of the married people I know were as happy as Amory and Vicky are, we'd live in a much better world. But we'll have that conversation some other time, Emily. But I do look at the demographics. I look at one of the studies that you gave to me, some of the other stuff that I went out and researched and read this weekend. And the reality is, if we want to talk in terms of demographics, young, old, it doesn't matter, men or women, gay or straight, really the majority of people are absolutely 100% behind the idea of equality, period, just equality. We don't even need to define it. Let's just give everybody access. Or as somebody said to me a couple weeks ago, why shouldn't gay people be as unhappy as all of us?
And as you saw in the survey that I sent on, 80% of Michiganders know somebody who is in the gay or transgender community. And of those people that know somebody who's in the gay and transgender community, they are much more likely to realize and to feel strongly about the fact that there should be equality for all Michigan residents. And when we go against that, when we choose to be openly and actively working against making sure that everybody does better, it makes Michigan really, it makes it really difficult for Michigan to be competitive.
Yeah.
And to be attracting and retaining the best talent, because people don't feel like this is a secure place for them to raise their families or for them to invest their careers.
And we do need it. We're just out of time, Emily. I will just want to let people know that there's a big national conference coming up later this month in Orlando, Florida, on LGBT law enforcement. And if you've got somebody headed that way and you want to check in with us about that when you get back, I would love to be able to cover that. Emily, thanks so much for your time this morning. We're just out of time.
No, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Folks, we are far from being done with this issue, as is the state, as is the country. Representative Tim Bledsoe, when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
At Telegraph Road before Hickory Grove Road, there's a disabled vehicle. The center lane is blocked. There's also planned construction at 24 Mile Road. Both the eastbound and westbound lanes will be closed. All lanes will be closed between Foss Road and North Ave. And at I-275 southbound between the I-96 and M-14 exit and Ford Road, it's reduced to two lanes, causing slow traffic in that area. I'm Tim, and that's your toll traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 78 degrees and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. More than 11,000 state-funded daycare and home care workers in Connecticut will be able to bargain collectively for contracts to improve their wages and win benefits, as Governor Dan Malloy signed enabling legislation on May 15. Melinda Tuhus reports from New Haven.
These workers, who are paid through Medicaid or through the Care for Kids program, have been trying to win union recognition for years. Their efforts were rewarded when Governor Malloy issued an executive order last September allowing them to unionize. Home care workers voted 4-1 to join the New England Healthcare Employees Union, District 1199, SEIU. Daycare workers voted overwhelmingly in favor of joining Connecticut State Employees, SEIU, Local 2001. The controversial bill allowing them to bargain collectively passed the General Assembly on May 3rd. One Republican senator, Joe Markley, led the effort against it, saying it would be detrimental to the elderly and disabled who need home care services. But Deborah Chernoff, staffer with 1199 SEIU, says because of the intimate nature of the relationship, protections for the consumer of services have been built into the legislation.
The consumer has the right to select the person, hire them, train them in the kinds of services they want and the way they want those services delivered, and if it doesn't work out, to fire that person.
She says now the average pay is about $12 an hour with no benefits, including no workers' compensation, which is important in a job where workers are often injured because of the physical nature of the work, with a lot of lifting and turning of clients. Cassandra Parkman, a home care worker from Manchester, celebrated the victory.
Stand alone, we don't really have a voice, and now we're able to come together and have guidance in how to get the things that we need. You know, health insurance, better living wages, to be able to support ourselves is something tremendous.
Chernoff adds that while about 7,200 workers are covered now, that number is expected to at least double in the next several years as baby boomers age. The current pay of home daycare providers varies by region, with those in Tony Fairfield County earning the most. and by the age of the children being cared for, with infant care the most expensive. But the per-child payment is very modest, explains union staffer Ben Phillips.
Under the current system through Care for Kids, providers make typically less than $3 an hour, and they're only allowed to have six children in their care. At best, they can make $18 an hour.
Going forward, the General Assembly must vote on any increase in wages for these two groups of workers. Eight other states allow state-funded daycare workers to bargain collectively, while five other states permit it for home care workers. For Workers Independent News, I'm Alinda Tuhus in New Haven.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, and as promised, now we turn our attention to State Representative Tim Bledsoe. Those of you that have been following this story, and the reason, and certainly part of the reason why this has made headlines again, is because of the sensational circumstances surrounding the Trayvon Martin case in Florida. Well, lots of you were stunned to learn that we had a stand your ground law here in the state of Michigan. And although Governor Jennifer Granholm did sign it into law, she is on record as saying that she would support its repeal. That's right, its repeal. Well, joining me now, as I said, is State Representative Tim Bledsoe, who is here to talk to us this morning about why we might want to consider repealing this law. Representative Bledsoe, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Good to be with you, Tony.
Well, you know, let's just go over some basic facts. First of all, I think people are stunned to realize, in light of what happened in Florida, that Michigan has a very similar law. And so why don't we define for this audience what the Stand Your Ground law allows an individual to do?
Well, the Michigan law was passed in 2006, just a few months after the Florida law was passed. It is a close cousin to the Florida law. It is not identical to the Florida law, but it was taken from the same template as the Florida law. And basically, it empowers people to use deadly force in a public place if they feel threatened. Now, the Stand Your Ground law in Michigan's code is separate from the Castle Doctrine. We also have in our law the statement of persons' right to defend themselves and their family in their home. And we are not attempting to repeal the Castle Doctrine. You know, we're comfortable with the idea that your home is your castle and there are expansive rights to defend yourself in your home. But in a public place, you know, if retreat is an option, you must retreat in lieu of using deadly force.
But now, and let's be clear on this, Representative Bledsoe. This is not anti-Second Amendment in any way, shape, or form. This is about taking a realistic look at a law and just applying some common sense judgment as to whether or not it is needed, right?
Exactly right. This is, you know, the guns are out there. They're going to be out there whether, you know, we repeal this law or not. This is not about guns. It's about violence, really, and trying to ratchet down the level of violence in our communities. You know, I've had several people who are card-carrying NRA members and even, you know, one person who is an instructor as a part of the NRA licensing program come to me and tell me, you know, I support your effort to repeal Stand Your Ground. Stand Your Ground is not about guns. It's a crazy law. We never should have passed it in the first place.
All right, so let's talk about, and listen, you have been a leading voice in this repeal effort. It's something that I 100% support. In fact, when this was first given to me as an option, I only wanted to talk to you because of your leadership on this issue, Representative Bledsoe. So with that said, what kind of, and I know you're getting some support within the Democratic community. What about Republicans? How are they coming out with regard to this repeal effort?
I have not received any positive feedback feedback from my Republican colleagues in the House of Representatives. It's sad, Tony, but, you know, I've got 13 co-sponsors on this bill, but there are 46 Democrats in the House of Representatives, and so there are a lot of Democrats out there who need to be sensitized to this. You know, I think that, you know, by golly, this is something that is all about making our communities better and safer places to live. And while I would love to have every legislator join me as a co-sponsor of this bill, I would certainly love to have every Democrat on board.
Well, I find it interesting, and I believe it was you that was quoted as saying this is the only law you can think of that actually kind of invites violence.
Isn't that something? You know, if you think of all the laws we have out there, you know, the whole purpose of government, if you think back to the very early primitive society, the purpose of government was that very early government was to reduce or minimize conflicts, confrontations, and violence among members of that little tribe. Well, even today, the one of the primary roles for government is reducing violence in our communities. And yet this is a law that actually promotes violence. It encourages people to take violent action in defense of the ground that they stand on, as though that is somehow sacred ground.
Well, you know, again, I don't think it, as we see in the Trayvon Martin case, it's really not that hard to stretch the stand your ground laws to fit whatever situation you might be in. I want to read a quote from you, and then I want you to respond to it, Representative Blood. So you said, "My legislation is pro-safety and pro-law enforcement. You can be pro-gun and anti-stand your ground." Now, I know why you had to say that, but let's address that in its entirety for this audience. It's important that people again, I said this is not anti-Second Amendment, and it really is pro-safety. I don't think people understand how far stand your ground actually lets people get away with things.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, the police did not originally arrest Mr. Zimmerman in that Florida case, in the Trayvon Martin case, because of the Stand Your Ground law. The Stand Your Ground law effectively ties the hands of our police and prosecutors. And what we're really saying here is that those police and prosecutors should be free to follow the evidence. If a person can make a case that they acted in self-defense, then that's fine. Let them make that case. But don't put any extra burden on our police and prosecutors as they sort through what might be a very violent act and even a deadly act.
Well, again, I think it's just inviting, at a very real level, inviting violence. And I am, at some level, Representative Bledsoe, a little bit shocked that we haven't seen a similar circumstance here in Michigan that they've had in Florida at this point. God knows, especially in many of the communities throughout the state of Michigan, because of with the revenue sharing changing and this administration severely hampering communities and public safety, that this becomes a bigger and bigger issue, I think, with every passing day. And especially, and you and I both know this, as the weather gets warmer, people's tempers get shorter, and we're just waiting and asking for something horrible to happen. And it would be really nice to get out in front of this thing, and I would hope that you'll find more support for this.
Well, we are in this for the long haul. You know, if it doesn't pass in this session, we'll be back next year and the year after and the year after.
No, and so people understand that some of the co-sponsors on this are representatives from Flint, the city of Detroit, and other communities where you would think that they would not necessarily want to touch this, and indeed they do want to address this. They do want to make sure that we back down. Again, the bravado. I mean, just that alone, Representative Bledsoe, the bravado that this Stand Your Ground law allows is, to me, quite
dangerous. It's provocative. It's provocative, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, and I mean, it really is. As soon as this crossed my desk last week, I said, this is something that we need to have a discussion about, because I don't think, A, people understand. And even when I mentioned it on the show one day last week that we did have a similar law, people were astounded. People were sending me emails saying, are you sure we have that kind of law here? Yeah, I'm really sure we have that kind of law here.
Oh, yeah, it was was, you know, as I say, it was passed just a few months after the Florida law, and it clearly taken from the same template. Substantively, it's identical to the Florida law. Procedurally, there are some differences that make it a little bit different than the Florida law.
I would like to ask everybody within the sound of our voices this morning to reach out to their state representative and ask them to co-sponsor the repeal of the Stand Your Ground law. It just makes no sense to continue to support what's known as PA 309 and 310 of 2006. But all you need to know is that when you call your state representative, tell them to support the repeal of the Stand Your Ground law. They will understand exactly what you mean. You don't need a bunch of legal jargon here, folks. You don't need to make this hard. In fact, make it easy for them and just tell them they need to get on as a co-sponsor. Representative Bledsoe, we're going to, of course, keep an eye on what's going on, and you're welcome back anytime to discuss this.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony.
It's been my pleasure. State Representative Tim Bledsoe. Folks, this is, to me, this one's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. It doesn't, again, it still allows you to protect your own domicile. Yes, it does. There is, as he said, there's nothing that says that if you are attacked that you can't defend yourself. You still have a right to defend yourself. It doesn't affect the amount of the CCWs, that's the permit to carry, concealed weapon permits. Doesn't change that. It's not anti-Second Amendment in any way, shape, or form. It actually does help law enforcement in the long run. So why would you not be in favor of seeing this legislation repealed and the right thing get done? We don't need a situation like they had in Florida. And let me remind you, I don't remember how long it took before they finally arrested George Zimmerman in Florida. But it was weeks. I don't know how many weeks, but it was weeks after the actual murder of Trayvon Martin. And we saw what happened in that state, and actually what happened nationally. This became a racial issue. Now there's talk that George Zimmerman will be charged with a federal hate crime. You know, just because it looks good and smells good doesn't necessarily mean it is good. Time to repeal. Thank you, Representative Bledsoe. When we come back, Occupy Detroit occupies First Shift. We'll visit with Joey Zilka. Joey Zilka will be with us. Stay where you're at. First Shift continues right after this on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
The United States of America, Barack Obama.
Do you know me?
I've met him, but we're not friends.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Recently on First Shift.
Jeff, we're going to do a little mock phone call. You up for that?
Sure.
Actually, all you have to do is say, when I pretend like the phone's ringing and you're answering it, just say, hi, this is Senator Johnson's office. And Bert Johnson happens to be my state senator. So that's all I need for you to do. And I'll take it from there.
All right, I'll see if I got this line down.
Okay. Ring, ring. Apparently not.
You don't answer after the first one. You have to let it go twice.
Ring, ring.
Hi, Senator Johnson's office.
First Shift with Tony
Tribbiani on 1310 WDTW. Why are you laughing? Are you going to call laughing?
No, I'm not.
All right.
All right. All right.
It's all right.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit! Occupy Detroit!
They're chanting. We're standing right in the middle of this rally. And they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that's fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to Occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
It's time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And welcome back, everybody. It's 10 minutes before the top of the hour, and it is time for our Occupy Detroit segment. Many of you will remember right before the Michigan Summit, we had a great guest on from the National People's Action Conference. His name was George Gale. Well, the National People's Action Conference has had a training going on in Washington, D.C. this weekend. And joining me now is one of the people that was at that training, Joey Zilka. Joey, I want to welcome you to First Shift and thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing there in Detroit?
And we're doing great. Now, Joey, where are you from?
Where am I from?
Yes.
I am from Kalamazoo, Michigan, in fact, but I do a lot of work with the Detroit people over there, and we'll try to keep it all in the family.
Wonderful. Well, tell me a little bit about the National People's Action Conference this weekend and the training that was held, and perhaps a little bit about what you got out of it.
The National People's Action Conference this weekend is still going on all around me. If you hear any background noise, that's what's going on. It has been a very excellent experience. We've done a bunch of workshops on various things, housing justice issues to immigration rights issues. We actually got the National Domestic Workers Alliance to come down and join up with us yesterday before we went out and did an action at the Secretary of the Treasury's house, and that was pretty amazing action. We had about 1,000 people out there, and it was really powerful. We kept it somber and serious. We wanted him to know we were very serious about our message. We didn't get to talk to him, but his neighbors definitely saw us, and I think they'll be talking to him for us.
I don't mean to laugh because it's not funny, but I get your point.
Yeah.
Well, that's very exciting. You know, listen, when I saw George Gale speak at the Michigan Summit, one of the things he talked about is that no matter how big, quote-unquote, the movement is, Joey, it's not big enough, and there's more that we can do, and there's, you know, and we do need to expand it, and we do need to be very serious about our mission. Are you getting a sense during this training that this is starting? Is this a movement that is it really starting to build momentum, that's starting to grow in numbers? Because ultimately, Joey, let's be honest about it, it really is about numbers. We do need numbers.
Yeah, people power is the way to go, and I do really get a sense that we are building a lot of support. And adding groups. Like I said, we have the National Domestic Workers Alliance here, and that's another large group from across the country. There's a lot of representatives here from different organizations that are in the same causes. and those sorts of things, just to see what's going on here and start to get involved and go back to their groups and hopefully get them joining up more unity with us to move forward with all of this stuff. It's really exciting.
Well, you know, Joey, we stop and take a look at, and just for a moment, I want people to imagine whether it's, like you said, housing inequity issues, whether it's LGBT issues, whether it's immigration rights issues, whether it's, bank fraud. No matter what the issue is, there isn't a person in a bipartisan way, Joey, that isn't affected by what has happened in this country over not just the last few years, but perhaps the last few decades. And we do need to take control of this situation. And it is truly, as you said, about people power. If we truly want to turn this thing around, we have to step up, we have to stand up, and we have to do the right thing here.
That's right. Our government's supposed to be for the people and by the people. And so the people really need to step up and take action and join up with something and stand behind what you believe in. Stand up for ourselves and don't let people just run over us anymore, these corporations and banks.
No, no question. How long does this training go on for?
We're wrapping it up today. I guess we have some actions this morning. They don't even tell us what they are, though, so the cops aren't there before us. So I'm not sure what we're doing today, but I know we're going down to a big meeting, a rally, and then we're going to be boarding some buses and doing some work down here in the Capitol area. So I'm looking forward to that. And there's a bunch of different people meeting with their congressmen and congressional staffs and whatnot to present these issues at those levels.
No, that's great. Again, that's the National People's Action Conference going on in Washington, D.C. this weekend and, again, culminating with some activities today. Joey Zilka, I want to thank you so much for being with us and appreciate the work that you're doing to keep us all strong.
Thank you, Tony, for keeping everybody informed.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for being with us today. Well, you know, for just a moment. I think that this is one of those occasions where you can honestly say, and I mean this from a bipartisan standpoint, and Jeff, let me ask you this question. For a moment, do you think that there aren't Republicans that are affected by the same things the Democrats are?
No.
Here's the part that I just don't, the disconnect for me. Okay, so people say, well, why do people vote against their own interests? And that's a conversation we have ad nauseum, so we're not going to have that one. But just a simple acceptance. Why can't people just come to a simple acceptance that the issues that the 99% are advocating for, that are trying to fight to get recognition of, that 99%, as I've said before, this is not a group you joined. It's just something you are a part of. Why don't people just see that if we all would work together, that we could change and make things better for all of us, even those that think that their lives are really okay? You know, it can actually get better. Or maybe that just doesn't matter to people. That's the part that I find confusing. And truly, that's the part that I find confusing. Do you really think that you have it so good, or is it just, so boring, so predictable, and that predictable is okay? Is that what some of you are doing? Saying, okay, well, I can afford to live in my house. I can afford to buy groceries. I can afford to do whatever I need to do. So, listen, I'm going to just protect what's my little domain, and that's all I'm going to worry about. And maybe that's what makes you a Republican. But I don't know that it makes you very Christian. I don't know that it makes you, it really says much about humanity. And this idea that we only take care of ourselves is really not what communities are based on. That's not how we build communities, is it? And in order to strengthen something, don't we really need to start to reach out to other constituencies and get them on board with what it is we're doing? And then this idea that, well, of course, the Republicans won the 2010 election here in Michigan, therefore, they are building their coalition, and this is what the community is going to look like from now on. I don't believe that that's true. I think people were lied into a sense of acceptability that just doesn't make sense in our current set of affairs, does it? Mark Brewer and Christine Berry in the next hour. We're going to have a great hour the next hour. Stay where you're at. I want to thank again Joey Zilka from the Occupy Movement for joining us. We'll take the break for the top of the hour. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There are some slowdowns out on the roadways right now. I-696 westbound between Mound Road and I-75. Expect a 3-minute delay there. And also I-75 southbound between 14 Mile Road and I-696. You can expect delays there. And 8 Mile Road at Hoover, traffic lights are stuck on red. I'm Tim, and that's your toll traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to have a high of 78 degrees and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iglesias. The NATO meeting wraps up today in Chicago with the goal of reaffirming a 2014 end to the fighting in Afghanistan. But as NBC's Chuck Todd reports, the meeting has been upstaged by protests.
At the NATO summit Sunday, Chicago police experienced their toughest day yet dealing with protesters. Skirmishes between police and some of the protesters became more frequent as the summit continued.
If you missed out on that big IPO, today is day two of Facebook trading on NASDAQ. Experts say don't expect growth right away, though, after shares barely budge from the opening price of $38. Tropical storm Alberto heading out to sea after marking time off the coast of South Carolina and Georgia, leaving heavy surf in the wake. And going, that jersey is gone for $4.4 million. Babe Ruth still shattering records 63 years after his death, as the Bambino's 1920s Yankee jersey sells for a world record price. When it comes to auctions, Ruth is still the Sultan of SWAT. This is NBC News Radio.
It's me you need to show. How deep is your love?
The Bee Gees, down to just one surviving member with the death of Robin Gibb, the singer-songwriter who died of cancer yesterday at 62. NBC's Jim Maceda in London.
As its lead singer, Robin Gibb made his mark with a distinct tremolo voice.
I've been in trouble.
His songwriting and vocals catapulting the Bee Gees, short for Brothers Gibb, just behind the Beatles in popularity.
They'll try again tomorrow. SpaceX shooting for a Tuesday launch of the first private spacecraft bound for the International Space Station. The unmanned Falcon 9 rocket came within a split second of blasting off Saturday morning when an engine glitch aborted the launch. An ancient methane gas may be warming the planet. Researchers have identified thousands of sites in the Arctic where melting ice is releasing methane, one of the most powerful greenhouse gases. They say it could accelerate global warming. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Iglesias, NBC News Radio.
Staples knows that in a small business, technology is all you.
Dave, can we get new laptops?
We're not upgrading until next year.
Oops, I might need one sooner.
Oops, me too.
Yours still looks good, Sally.
How about now?
No, that's broken.
Get a great deal on a new computer at the PC Savings Event with up to $200 off via instant rebates and Visa prepaid cards. Staples, that was easy.
Offer ends 5/26/12. Visa card issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA Incorporated. Terms and conditions apply to the card. See store for details.
Here's an email Walmart got the other day.
Dear Walmart, I was introduced to Projects Made Simple. I was blown away. They come with simple steps and tools you need. My favorite project is painting, but I hadn't considered painting our front door. The video helped me gather everything I would need. Walmart offers a great selection of paint, a mecca for everything DIY. Regards, Amanda Powell, Orlando.
FYI, DIY means do-it-yourself. And you can too with everything you need to paint your front door, like Litton 2-in-1 Paint and Primer and Scotch Blue Painter's Tape. See for yourself, only at Walmart.
NASDAQ OMX says it will figure out which investors were burned Friday by the exchange's bungling of Facebook's IPO and compensate them. A tidal wave of buy and sell orders overwhelmed the exchange, which delayed the start of Facebook trading and caused many transactions not to go through at all. NASDAQ also says it will redesign its IPO system. Stock futures are gaining. S&P futures up 8. NASDAQ futures up 17. Dow futures up 67. As some investors hunt bargain stocks following a stretch in which the Dow has fallen 12 of 13 trading days, the market also warming up to a string of merger announcements. This week, Google will become a major player in the mobile business in more ways than just its Android operating system. Its $12.5 billion acquisition, first announced last summer, of Motorola Mobility, has now received the final bit of approval it was waiting for. Chinese regulators giving the nod after making Google agree to offer Android free to all for at least 5 more years. I'm Andrew O'Day, in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
So, Dr. Morisi, as an economist, you're saying business leaders don't understand the true cost of documents?
They just don't get it. Unmanaged printers and MFPs, dysfunctional document workflow, it's profit-killing chaos.
So what's the answer?
Kyocera.
Dr. Morisi.
So go from chaos to Kyocera.
Hey, that's my line.
Doctor. Learn more about Kyocera technology like the 50-page per minute Task Alpha 5550 CI Color MFP at KyoceraDocumentSolutions.com/US.
Chances are there's a favorite shirt or sweater in your closet with the Lands' End label inside. You know us for classic American style and quality that's guaranteed, period. Now meet Lands' End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality unifies teams and makes brands better. Small companies to market leaders like Caterpillar and Southwest Airlines are dressing employees at Lands' End Business Outfitters. Find out why at landsend.biz. That's landsend.biz.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea, most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had 3 extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir. Right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. Pleasure to be with you. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday, May 21st, 2012. Hope you're all enjoying what's been some spectacular late spring weather, very summer-like, no question about that, and hope, again, that you have had a chance to enjoy it. At the bottom of this hour, we will visit with Christine Berry at bloggingformichigan.com in our blog roll segment, but before we do that, it's Monday, and as we've been saying all morning, and actually I think I said it on Friday, we were looking forward to this segment today, so let's get our intros out of the way and get going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
This is about the rights of the people of this state to collectively bargain, whether they work in the private sector or the public sector, and it's a right that they should have. And it's been under attack here in Michigan and in other states and nationally now for well over a year, and we say it's time to stop that. Let people decide for themselves whether they want to exercise that right. This is not something for the Lansing politicians to take away from people.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And we welcome back to First Shift Chairman Mark Brewer. And, you know, I normally give you a light captain, my captain, to begin our segment. But we've got some serious stuff to talk about this morning, Mark. And I'm not being overly dramatic. What happened last week with Representative Roy Schmidt is very, very serious stuff, Mark. And so I want to welcome you back, but I want to be careful that you know, that we don't make something lighthearted out of something that is quite serious.
No, it is, Tony. I mean, I've been active in politics in this state nearly 30 years, and I thought I'd seen it all in terms of underhanded, sneaky, manipulative, illegal political activity in this state. But what happened last week was just unprecedented in my experience and my knowledge of Michigan politics, with this plot by Roy Schmidt and House Speaker Bolger and undoubtedly a lot of other folks to switch parties at the last minute, put a fake Democrat into the race. There's just a lot of moving parts, very complicated, but again, unprecedented in terms of its underhandedness and, I think, illegality in terms of Michigan politics.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to disagree with anything you've had to say, but Mark Brewer, let me ask you, what kind of relationship did you have with Representative Schmidt?
Yeah, it was a fine relationship. Roy and I had worked together for many years, dating back to the time when he was on the city commission. We worked together on, and we never had a cross word on things. We were very eager and were helping him prepare for his reelection. Redistricting put him into a marginal seat, but we were very confident that given his record, his name recognition, his fundraising ability, his constituent work, that he would have been fine and we would have been there for him had that been necessary. And that just added to the disappointment, Tony. I mean, Tony, literally, the Friday before this party switch, he held a major fundraiser in Grand Rapids in which he begged, urged Democrats to max out his campaign, all the while knowing that the following Tuesday he planned to switch parties.
Well, okay, so this is where this gets awfully troubling for me, Mark, and so we're going to come back to the legalities in a moment. We've got plenty of time to discuss this, so we don't need to rush through this conversation. But Mark, you know, I want to go back to something we discussed last week, and that is, you know, all of the other stuff aside, what we were told by Speaker Bolger, and if you care to believe this, and I'm not naive enough to do it, is that he looked at Roy Schmidt and said, "My, he looks unhappy. I think I need to reach out to him and find out why." Oh, come on, Mark.
Now, that's just not credible, Tony. I mean, Roy had been there, and there have been lots of quotes in the paper now about how he was critical of the Republican agenda over the last year and a half, and rightfully so. You know, the tax increase on seniors, the cuts to public education, and the Republican agenda were hurting his constituents, as they were people all over the state. Roy would not have said those things if he didn't believe them and know them to be true. Was Roy concerned about his reelection? Yes. As I talked about a moment ago, Tony, and we were going to be there with him. I think what the speaker saw was somebody who he could threaten, maybe manipulate. You know, we don't know yet what went on behind the scenes, and play to those election fears. I think that's all this was about. Roy's fear about getting reelected, and for that reason, he threw all of this over. You know, all the loyalty to his friends and to his colleagues in the House, out the window. His loyalty to his constituents and his donors, out the window, solely to try to guarantee his reelection.
No, you know, there are some that are saying, hey, listen, this is just the Democrats' sour grapes. You know, that was going to be tough enough to gain the House back without with this seat, that much harder without it. But this isn't really, Mark, about sour grapes, is it? Isn't this about, you know, process? It's not like, you know, he would have been the first one to change parties. And so I don't know that anybody has a problem with that. Frankly, as somebody wrote to me, if you're that weak in your opinions, and if you don't have enough of a backbone to stand behind the party that brought you to the table, then feel free to walk away. But there's got to be a better way to do it than this, Mark Brewer.
Oh, no, I agree, Tony. I was so disappointed. I was up north working with House candidates last week. Got some great ones up there. We'll talk about that some other time. But to learn about this, that basically, literally minutes before the filing deadline, Tony, Roy sent somebody in, or the speaker sent somebody in, more accurately, to withdraw Roy's previous filing as a Democrat, to file as a Republican, and then to put this fake Democrat on the ballot. it wasn't like Roy Schmidt stood up in the House or in a public place, you know, the same day, a few days in advance, and declared, and for whatever reason, he was switching parties. That would have been a much more honorable way to do this. No, he did it in a sneaky, underhanded way at the last minute, designed to ensure that the voters of his district would have no choice but to vote for him as a Republican. Because he didn't tell anybody, he did it at the last minute, and this fake Democrat was designed to prevent a legitimate Democrat from getting on the ballot. So no, this was done shamefully, dishonestly. We would have had much more respect for Roy, though we would have still disagreed with him, had he done this openly and publicly in advance.
Well, again, I just think that there's an ethical question here. There's a moral and ethical question here. Now, we did get news towards the weekend that the Michigan State Police are now going to investigate the legalities of some of what happened. I'm not suggesting there's anything easy about what's happened here. I think it's going to get quite complicated, Mark Brewer. So that's where the state police is now. So we know that that investigation will happen. Where is Ruth Johnson, our Secretary of State, on this issue? Where is Bill Schuette, our Attorney General, on this issue? Have they said anything publicly?
Absolutely not, Tony. Last week I filed a demand of them that they investigate this. You may recall both of them, particularly Ruth Johnson, were all over this alleged fake Tea Party incident in Oakland County involving Democrats a couple years ago. You know, and if they're going to be upset and prosecute over fake Tea Party, the same standard needs to apply to fake Democratic candidates when there was obvious law-breaking involved, but their silence has been deafening.
Okay, well, you know, listen, I understand they had their little convention this weekend where, you know, unfortunately for some, the right wing got a little more right wing this weekend, which we'll again have that conversation some other time. But Mark, I've got to wonder, and I think that it's important that we keep this in perspective, and I'm going to repeat this only one more time. This isn't the first person to switch parties, and that's nearly not what this is about at all. This is not about a representative switching parties. It's about the way in which it happened. And Mark, now that we know that this quote-unquote fake Democrat, because that's what he is, backed away and committed fraud, by the way, in the process, and when he signed something, and when he showed up to become a candidate, that said under penalty of perjury, which he has now committed, by the way, this doesn't just go away. We don't just walk away from this without there being somebody's going to have to pay for what's happened here.
Well, that's right, Tony. I mean, as your listeners may know, when somebody files for office, they file something called an affidavit of candidacy, and you have to, you know, talk about and openly declare what's your party, where are you registered to vote, where do you reside, and so forth. And we have come to call this affidavit by this fake Democrat the affidavit of three lies, because that's exactly what it is. The fellow has never been active in the Democratic Party before, barely votes, let alone being active. It turns out he's a Schmidt family friend, so I think there's a lot more to uncover there. He lied in terms of saying that he was registered to vote and a resident of this district. His father disclosed last week that the young man's still living at home in Ottawa County when this district, House District 76, is in fact in Kent County. And then the affidavit goes on to declare how he's lived in Kent County his entire life, which is another lie. And as you indicate, Tony, you signed this affidavit, very clearly states, under penalty of perjury. And so when he signed that and filed that, he committed perjury in our view.
Absolutely. Mark, I'm going to have to ask you to hold that thought. We are up against the clock. We'll take the break. Mark Brewer continues with us right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo.
These pancakes are something else, I'll tell you. These pancakes are as large as my win in Puerto Rico last night, I must admit. That is really something. You haven't gone to work on this pancake yet.
On 1310.
Number one, I need some pancakes. And number two,
WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch. There are a couple of accidents to report out on your roadways. We have an accident at I-75 northbound at Kniff Street. Also, there's an accident blocking your left shoulder on US 23 southbound after Barker Road. Backing up traffic starting at Silver Lake Road. And traffic lights are not working at Davison West at 14th Street. I'm Tim, and that's your toll traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 78 degrees, and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, it because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made. And that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have that peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trippiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trippiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trippiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
22 minutes after the hour. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Feel free to join us if you have a question or comment. 888-552-3595. Mark, before we go to the phones, though, I do want to ask this question. There seems to, and maybe premeditated isn't the right word, but it's the only one that comes to mind. But there's some premeditation involved here by the speaker, by Representative Schmidt, and I would think at least one or two other operatives, because you don't move this to this point and then have a fake candidate come in at the last second, in essence, you know, barring the Democratic Party from putting a legitimate candidate in there. Now, this person has backed out, but is premeditation the right word here, Mark?
Oh, it's clearly planning in advance. The speaker has admitted he spent weeks, if not months, talking with Roy Schmidt about this. Tony, this fake candidate's affidavit was typed up last week. You know, a lot of candidates come in and they fill it out right there on the spot. This was typed up in advance and delivered by somebody who delivered both of them at the same time. It's not clear who that is. That person's been hiding from the press over the last week. So clearly this was planned in advance. The timing was no accident. The typed in advance affidavit, all of that indicates that this was planned long in advance. And again, underhanded, sneaky, and we believe in many ways illegal.
All right, let's go to the phones and welcome Herb in Northville. Herb, as always, a pleasure to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Morning, Tony. Morning, Mr. Chairman. I think just a couple of things. One, we need to emphasize that while what the fake Democrat, his name is Matt, what he had done is clearly wrong, let's also remember that he's a 22-year-old kid who probably didn't really know what he was being led into. And if he ends up being the scapegoat, then that's way shooting way low of the target. But also, I think we need to emphasize something else, is that now that he has withdrawn, which was the right thing to do, the minimum least he could have done, is to withdraw. That gives Democrats in the district. We can now put up a write-in candidate for the primary at the fairly low bar. Only a few hundred votes are needed for a good write-in candidacy, and then that person is on the ballot in November against Turncoat Roy.
Nope. Great call, Herb. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, that's right. We're working with the local Democrats to find a write-in candidate to put on the ballot. But before the break, Tony, we were talking about this fake Democrat. Even though this young man pulled out, that does not absolve him of perjury, and that's why the state police opened up the investigation last week. But your caller is absolutely right. This young man's father talked to the press last week and said this young man is but a pawn in this whole scheme. But we want to know who the chess masters are. Was it Bulger? Was it Schmidt? Were there other folks involved? Because clearly this young man was put up to it, and he's being made a scapegoat in this whole situation.
Well, you know, it's clear, Mark, and again, I don't want to make accusations, and I don't want to make any assumptions as well. But the reason that he pulled out, to me, is fairly clear. So this is my opinion and my opinion only. Somebody finally got to him and said, because he's 22, dude, do you realize that you're in trouble now? You realize that I think that's exactly what happened, Mark.
I think that's right, Tony. And, you know, now we get into the aspect of cover-up. I think the Republicans thought that if they got him to pull out, that this would all go away. And as is usually the case, the crime's bad enough, Tony. The cover-up is usually worse, and that's a crime in and of itself. So I hope that we get a very honest, thorough state police investigation here that follows the facts wherever they may lead. Roy Schmidt, the Speaker of the House, whoever in the Republican Party and among the Republican staff knew about this or participated in it.
Well, Mark, I would love to say that this is something that the Attorney General and the Secretary of State can't ignore, but we know that the Republicans have really been quite outrageous in what they have and have not chose to focus on. And so the idea that they may not take this on isn't as crazy as it might sound. Now, if the state police at some point, and it would, I don't think take that long, at some point say, you know, we've got a serious issue on our hands here, the Secretary of State will have no choice but to get involved, correct?
I would hope so, Tony, but for too long we have seen very partisan enforcement of the election laws in this state, the campaign finance laws. I mean, just look what's going on with the Public Act 4 emergency manager, a lawsuit, the fight over font size to get that on the ballot. You've seen Ruth Johnson and her predecessors ignore valid Democratic complaints about Republicans violating the election laws. I hope this is not the latest example, but if we bring enough public pressure, And simply let the facts speak for themselves. This affidavit was full of lies. There is perjury committed here, and it's plain for all to see. The law should apply equally to Democrats and Republicans in this state, and this should be investigated.
Well, there's no question, you know, and for a variety of reasons. Listen, as a hardcore Democrat, I'm very disappointed that this happened for obvious reasons, because it's a fight that we didn't have to. It's a seat we didn't really. I mean, we had to still fight for it, Mark. But you've got an incumbent, like you said, he had name recognition. There were lots of Democrats actually walking in his district for him yet a day before he did this, and not to mention what he does to his staff, Mark Brewer. To me, that's immoral.
Oh, no, I agree, Tony. I understand it. His staff was literally informed that afternoon, and they were called to the office of a lobbyist in Lansing to be informed by their boss that he was switching parties on them. I mean, it's just outrage after outrage, you know, dishonesty after dishonesty all across the board. The voters, the contributors, the supporters, the staff, everybody betrayed in the most underhanded, unethical way possible.
Well, you know, Mark, I just, for the life of me, can't understand. Is the arrogance that bold that Jace Bulger and Roy Schmidt and whoever else is involved in this real life, real drama, did they really believe that it would just be, oh, well, got to live with it, that people wouldn't be upset about it, that there wouldn't be an uproar, that there wouldn't be an investigation? Are they that naive?
Well, that naive, Tony, but also that arrogant, that, you know, they're so confident that they can manipulate the rules and do things in sneaky, underhanded ways and get away with it. That's the arrogance of power, that there is no checks, there are no checks and balances in Lansing now. But we hope, again, that we'll get an impartial and honest police investigation here. And in the end as well, the voters will hold Roy Schmidt, Bulger, and anybody else involved in this scheme accountable.
Do you know if the state police on their own decided to investigate this or if somebody asked them to get involved?
I understand the sequence of events. The same day I filed the request with Bill Schuette and Ruth Johnson, the local Democratic chair, Elizabeth Likens, filed a similar request with the county clerk and the county prosecutor. It's my understanding that the county prosecutor in Kent County referred this matter to the state police.
All right. Well, that makes complete sense. Mark, of course, I will be leaning on the Michigan Democratic Party and your communications director to keep us informed as to what's going on. And we will report as we need to. We may need you in a little extra bonus time, Mark, as we work our way through this, what I consider to be a scandal.
And that's great, Tony, because I think sunshine and letting the facts come out here is the best thing that could happen. I'll be happy to provide that.
All right, very good. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, thanks again for your time, Mark. We'll look forward to visiting with you. I was going to say next week, but our next visit, because it may be sooner than that.
Thank you, Tony.
You bet. Mark Brewer once again. Christine Berry with Blogging for Michigan on their side. I bet you she has an opinion on this. We'll get to that when we continue here on First Shift.
WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
There are a couple of accidents to report out on your roadways. We have an accident at I-75 northbound at Kniff Street. Also, there's an accident blocking your left shoulder on US 23 southbound after Barker Road. Backing up traffic starting at Silver Lake Road. And traffic lights are not working at Davison West at 14th Street. I'm Tim, and that's your toll traffic update.
Ride through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 78 degrees, and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit ufcw.org or call 248-585-9671.
Woody Guthrie wrote a song titled Jolly Banker, a perfect pitch parody of the propensity of Depression-era bankers to feel good about gouging small borrowers. Woody's song could also apply to the gouging we're getting from today's national chain banks, except the song's title should be Snarling Banker. Only a couple of years ago, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and others were quite jolly because they were piling up mountains of profits through such sneaky schemes as secretly enrolling customers in checking accounts that charged $35 a pop for every overdrawn check, then rigging the flow of checks so unwitting customers would be overdrawn. Public outrage exploded, especially because only a year earlier, we the people had bailed out these same banks. Thus, Congress shut down some of the worst gouges. This pinched bankers' exorbitant profits a bit, and they've been snarling ever since. Banks aren't charities, they bark, apparently thinking that somebody might have mistaken them as such. One thing you can count on is that banker greed is bottomless, and it's now coming back with a vengeance. Of course, they could make money honestly, as community banks and credit unions do, by making good loans and delivering good service. But instead, they're returning to what they call creative banking. You would call it fee gouging. Wells Fargo now hits you for $15 a month just to have a checking account, unless you keep at least $7,500 in your account. Citibank charges $20 a month unless you keep $15,000 on deposit, more than double last year's level. Bank fees for money orders have doubled, and fees for cashier's checks have quadrupled. This is Jim Hightower saying there is a way out of this endless abuse-the-consumer game. Move your money out of their vaults. For help, go to moveyourmoneyproject.org. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after the hour, I want to thank the chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. This is a story that we will continue to discuss, investigate, and bring to you as we have news and opinion, for that matter, because why not? And that's what radio is all about, right? Opinion. Absolutely. All right, it is time for our blog roll segment. So without further ado, an introduction, please.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutiae
and delivers information that impacts us all.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
First of all, we just would love to have more progressive bloggers anyway. But local progressive bloggers are very important because there's so much happening at city council meetings and boards of commissioners, at the county clerks. I mean, these are people who impact almost every aspect of your life.
From Blogging for Michigan,
Christine Berry.
And that's right, joining us now is Christine Berry. We're going to have a conversation today about blogging in general, but before we do that, first of all, let me say good morning to Christine, and thanks for live tweeting the show early this morning. We appreciated that.
Yeah, I love the banter. I like it when you're like, hey, Christine's there. Like, yes, I am.
Yes, you are. And it's nice to know that you're out there. Absolutely.
I love listening to you guys. Brightens my morning.
Thank you.
I was listening to Mark talk about the incredible lying Schmidt, and I was getting so angry about that guy, and I was angry about him all weekend. You know, I kept looking at headlines, and everything came up, Roy Schmidt and Jace Bulger, and I'm just so angry. And I tell you what, I'm going to get my blog on with that guy.
All right. Well, let's give you a little bit of therapy this morning, okay, Christine? I think it's important that you have a chance to vent. So I'm going to give you all the time you want, because actually, what you called Roy Schmidt in the email to me, which I won't repeat, a little bit different, but lying was in it anyway. With all that being said, give me your take on what's happened.
Yeah, I did try to refine it a little bit, Tony, before I came on the air. I don't believe for one second that Jace noticed that Roy Schmidt was unhappy. I mean, he probably was unhappy. He's a Democrat. I mean, all the Democrats in Lansing are unhappy living under Republican rule. And so I don't think that that's what it was. I think that Roy Schmidt wants to run for Senate. And Mark Brewer, if Mark Brewer was part of anything, wouldn't promise him what he wanted. It's odd, isn't it, that he mentioned Mark Brewer in that release? I mean, Mark isn't a legislator. Mark doesn't work in the legislature. His only job is to win elections. So why would he come up with a phrase like party bosses and bring up Mark Brewer unless it was something to do with an election? And you know, of course, it's also possible that Ari Adler or somebody just inserted that language into the release and didn't tell Roy Schmidt, and Roy Schmidt is now in a position where he can't deny it.
Well, he's going to have to wear it nonetheless, Christine. It's out there. It's part of the public record. And, in fact, Roy Schmidt's got a lot of stuff he's got to wear, whether he likes it or not. And, again, I don't imagine it's naivete, but I think it is arrogance. Where, and I don't know Roy Schmidt at all. I've never met the guy. I've never talked to him. But at what level did he think that this would just happen, people get over it, and we would just move on? At what level did he, I mean, you know, and again, I can see Jace Bolger. Now, for those that have been following this, they were meeting at Bolger's house. They were meeting at his house. Okay, folks, they were meeting at his house. They knew what they were doing. They knew that there would be this backlash. What the hell is this all about? Is this about, let's just see how much we can get away with?
I think it's about Schmidt's political future.
Or the lack thereof.
Right. I think that the Republicans would have taken anybody if it helped them ensure domination of the House. Maybe Schmidt's going to get a nicer committee position out of it. I don't know. I you do see party switching a lot, usually at the lower levels in counties like mine. You know, there'll be two Republicans in a primary, but no Democrat. Somebody will switch parties, so all they have to do is win the primary, whatever. But you don't see it at 4:10. And you don't see fake candidates. I mean, this is absolute Bush League. I don't understand why any person would allow this to happen to their personal reputation, their professional reputation, just their character in general. I mean, how could Roy Schmidt allow this to happen to his reputation?
Christine, it's obvious he was only concerned about his, and he's term limited, one more term, and that's it. What is he thinking? God only knows. It's not like these guys are making $14 million a year. So if this was about he needed a job so badly that he would do anything to hold on to this one, well, maybe he needs prayer. Maybe he needs therapy. I don't know what he needs, but he's going to get a whole lot more than he bargained for at this point. I mean, you know, he and Bolger may both find themselves out of a job as a result of this.
Well, that would be great. I really think that Schmidt's got a long game going. I think it has to do with his next office, not this next term. I think that there was something promised to him that we don't know what it is.
No.
I don't believe for one second it was an honest, you know, I'm unhappy with the party, so I'll switch. Oh, my God, man, are you a Democrat or not? Have you seen how awful these Republicans are? What in the world makes anyone think that a moderate is going to get anywhere in that party? I don't believe it for one second.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, let's use this to segue into the idea, because you think, and I believe this as well, that, you know, this is where the blogosphere can come to rescue the Democrats, that especially in the western part of the state, we get the right kind of bloggers out there dialoguing about the right kind of stuff. All of a sudden, this changes because the blogosphere has changed the way we do politics.
Exactly, it has. And let me say that no matter how we feel about this, Tony, or how the listeners feel, or BFM readers, whatever, the fact is, it's probably a sad fact, most people simply don't care about this until a few weeks before they have to decide who they're voting for. And where the bloggers come in is if you start, say you started now, Roy Schmidt made you so angry that starting now, you blog everything that he's done for the last, you know, two terms, and you're blogging through this election, and the Democrats have a candidate, somebody comes along and says, what do I need to know about these two candidates for the House? Your blog comes up, and they can find out all kinds of things about Roy Schmidt, what he's done, what he said about the Republicans, his last-minute party change. Now, who does that person trust? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's an example of how a blogger can help. This is material that's not going to come out in mainstream media. You know, traditional journalists, even if they wanted to report on this over and over again, they simply couldn't. You know, they work in journalism. It's not going to work that way for them. This is where bloggers have the freedom to do that. And even if you don't devote all of your time to Roy Schmidt, which would be tough to do anyway, you know, a few well-placed, well-written articles with the evidence to back him up, or the data from his voting records and so on to back him up, is all probably a Republican needs to see that the guy's not really a Republican. Maybe Republicans stay home and don't vote for anybody.
Yeah, and then let's be honest about this, Christine Berry. Just because you're not a quote-unquote journalist doesn't mean you will not find sources that won't talk to you. They will talk. They will talk if they feel you have an audience.
We regularly get sources who are very credible and can provide documentation and other sources. Sometimes we have to promise to not reveal them, just like journalists do, but we do get credible information coming to us quite a bit. And quite often I can get information that regular journalists can't, because people think that the bar is a little bit higher for journalists and they won't get away with their anonymity. Whereas I'm totally willing to allow somebody to be anonymous if they give me something that I can use to back up what they're saying. We get credible information all the time. I have no problem with blogger sources if they cite them or if they have something to back them up.
Sure, absolutely. Let's quickly go to the phones and welcome Bruce. Bruce, you're on the air with Christine Berry.
Hey, Christine. We need to talk
there,
some more. But I wanted to just point out what I did with Joe Nuremberg to what you were just talking about. You know, I examined Joe's record and blogged about it for 2 years. And then when Gary Peters came into the race, Gary literally, because of what I was doing on my blog and other ways, the Joe Nuremberg had other things that I did. No, but Gary Peters didn't have to really run one negative campaign commercial. So that saved, not only did it help him as far as exposing Joe's record, he probably saved a lot of money because he didn't have to run one negative ad.
Yeah, that's true. And actually what Bruce did went beyond generating content for the web, Tony, and everybody. He did. He went out and did some other activism where he had the Big Joe No Head, and then you started to see reporting on the big parody Joe No that Bruce was kind of carrying around, and that actually ended up on Rachel Maddow. I think Keith Olbermann, I think, said something about it. So that's where you kind of get into the ankle biting of blogging. You can carry it beyond just the content generation and do other things. I made bumper stickers once, and the newspaper picked up on my bumper stickers. It worked great.
I remember that story. Absolutely, I remember that story. Well, you know, and Bruce, thank you for your call. It's clear. And again, he said 2 years. So this is a commitment, and we're going to take a break here just a minute. When we come back, we're going to once again remind people how you are there to help them do this if they want to become a blogger. And so we'll do that in just a minute, but I just wanted to remind everybody, Bruce said it took him 2 years of consistently putting good information out there. And, you know, the bottom line, Christine, and we'll have to end the segment with this, but the bottom line is, you know, if your information is good, if it's verifiable, if you can stand behind it, there's no difference between you or someone at the Free Press, because the truth is not exclusive to those that have print publication.
Exactly.
All right. Christine Berry, blogging for Michigan.com. I'm Tony Truppiano. A very quick break here. We'll come back and wrap up the segment, wrap up the day after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Madeline Kunin.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
First word.
First thoughts.
First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. Just about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Christine Berry is with us in our blog roll segment. She, of course, blogging for Michigan.com. You can also find her at ChristineBerry.com, B-A-R-R-Y. And again, I promised before the break that when we came back, we would talk, if you wanted to learn how to become a blogger, that Christine could help you do that. So how is it that you can help us do that?
Well, we've got a project going. It's called the 83 County Project. And if you will sign up for that, we will get you in touch, first of all, with other bloggers. And I can we'll help you get through the technical aspects of blogging. I mean, when you talk about blogging, Tony, we've got two big areas that people have to deal with. You have the technical side of things, you know, where do I get the website, how do I do things, that sort of thing, how do I make a link and whatnot. And then you have the content generation, how do I write the article, you know, where do I get information to write about, that kind of thing. So we can help you with both of those things. You'll be part of a community where if you, you know, want some encouragement, support, feedback, whatever, we'll be there for you. And we'll help you get published and get on your way. Now, you don't have to blog at Blogging for Michigan to do this. We would love to have you, but, you know, we will get you set up with your own blog. And if you're doing the 83 County Project and you're actually blogging about your county, you should probably have your own blog anyway with your county name in it for search purposes. But so that's the project. And if you do not want to get involved in the project, there are other ways that you can get involved in blogging. You can... Sorry, Tony's still there? Sorry, I thought I lost you. You can go ahead and start researching blogging on BFM. We have some blog resources up there. I put one up there now, which is an intro to blogging, but we've also got several articles up from over the past several years where bloggers have collaborated on various blogging documents. So a couple of different ways to get started there, and I would be glad to help anyone who wanted to jump in and get involved.
And she does truly and sincerely mean that. And so if there are people out there, you know, consider it. It's a great exercise in democracy. It truly is. And I'm going to tell you, it gets you connected to your community. You'd be surprised how much you learn and how many people you get to know by blogging. It's not unsimilar to what I do here on the radio. So anyway, Christine, I want to thank you again so much for another great week. This Roy Schmidt thing is not going away anytime soon. There's that part of me that's going, but then there's the real part of me that's going, you know, this is just wrong. Are the Republicans going to do the right thing? Is the Secretary of State, the Attorney General going to step up? There's a lot going on here, Christine.
There is. I am interested in seeing what his committee seats will be. I'm interested in seeing if any of his sponsored legislation is suddenly getting Republican votes, but it didn't get before. It'll be fun to watch him. And by the way, if you want to blog stuff like this, this is stuff we can show you how to do, how to track these votes and committee assignments and things.
Absolutely. Well, again, thanks so much, Christine, and we'll look forward to talking to you the next time we talk to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tony.
You bet. Christine Berry with bloggingformichigan.com. A couple quick announcements before we get out of here for today. I want to remind you, next Sunday, May 27th, from 2 to 5 o'clock, there is a fundraiser for Congressman John Conyers. Noteworthy because our very own Jim Hightower will be in attendance. That's, of course, Colors Restaurant on East Grand River in Detroit. If you want more information on the fundraiser, all you need to do is send an email to David Green, and that's dsagreen@aol.com, dsagreen@aol.com. So give David a quick email, and he will give you all the details. And wow, where'd this day go, Mr. Radford? Where did this? It seemed like we were just doing first word. And now it's over.
Now we're doing the last words of the show.
The last words of the show. You know, I remember, I think we did last word maybe twice and then had to scrap it because I didn't know how to shut my mouth and get to it. So, and that was all me, but that's okay.
We should call it the last paragraph of
the show. The last paragraph. The last 5 minutes. Anyway, just goes by so fast. So fast. Now, for those of you that are paying attention, and that I'm going to assume that's most of you, we do have some books to give away. I think we're down to seven now. It's In Defense of Teachers, Barry Schumer's book. If you want to send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, you can get one that way. When they're gone, they're gone. So just send me an email, and I'm not going to send them out until I've got all 10 of them given away. That way I don't have to go to the post office, you know, 10 separate times or 4 separate times, whatever. So if you want a copy of the book, send me an email, and I will get one to you as long as I've got supplies. Once they're gone, they're gone. So keep that in mind, and we'll be happy to do that. Okay, so that's issue number one, and we did gave away, three today, which is great. And again, we'll give them away until they're gone. That's that. This Friday, we are going to be taking the weekend off. We're going to be taking off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Gives us a chance to recharge our batteries a little bit. You know, since I came back after having my gastric bypass surgery, I've been nonstop. I've been on nothing but go from minute one. So I could use a couple days just to collect my thoughts and maybe just have a day, one of those four where it's just about me. I want to see if I can make that happen. And then I've run into a problem, and I'm gonna need to start searching a solution to the problem. I no longer have clothes that really fit me. I'm talking nicer stuff. I've got garbage stuff that I can get away with, but I can no longer go anywhere nice. I have nothing nice to wear, and I'm so opposed to buying anything that costs real money because I won't fit in it very long. At least I hope I won't anyway. So I'm going to be hanging out at home for a while. Although Wednesday I'm speaking at the I put my iPad away, but Tom Wilson invited me to speak to, I believe it's the Wayne County Black Caucus or something along those lines. Anyway, I'll be speaking with them Wednesday night. So I'm just warning any of you that might be there, yes, I will look like I'm wearing some bigger guy's clothes because I used to be that bigger guy. Can't help it. I'm just not going to go out and buy clothes. I can't do it. I almost did it. You know, I was supposed to go, Jeff, on Saturday night. Supposed to go to that big Democratic gala in Northville, and I just couldn't bring myself to go buy dress clothes. I couldn't do it.
Have you looked around for friends or family members who now might be able to borrow from?
Don't really have anybody in my size. Don't know anybody.
Sons?
In my
None
size.
Of your sons yet?
I wouldn't fit into their stuff. Still too big for that.
You're just waiting for the day that that you and Anthony can share a clip. He's a very stylish guy.
I've teased him about that already. It's the watches I want.
The watches? I was thinking the belt buckles and the colorful shoes.
How many watches you have now, Anthony? Anthony?
I don't know.
Anthony, take a guess at it.
That was great. He was fumbling around trying to find his mic button, and then all he does is say, I don't know.
All right. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. Anthony and Jeff, thanks so much for everything. Again, off the air, tony@thetonyshow.org. And as always, first of all, have a great Monday. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There's an accident blocking your right shoulder, I-275 northbound at the I-696, M5, and I-96 area. Also, slow traffic I-94 westbound between Morose Road and I-75. And road construction has the left lane closed at I-275 northbound between Ford Road and I-96, M14. I'm Tim, and that's your total traffic update.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to have a high of 78 degrees, and expect thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Tonight, it's going to drop down to 54 degrees. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and in the mid-70s, and it's currently 64 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.